Okay, so we got to the 1 to 3 tomorrow afternoon, 1968 Democratic National Convention. WFMU actually covered it. Vince Scalza and the Cocaine Karma team, Dennis Brawley and Bob Rudnick. And that's 1 to 3 tomorrow afternoon. 3 to 4, we have a broadcast donation from Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza. Kenzo, FMU associate of quite a while at this point. And he is an expert mixer and sound collagist, and he has his way with a whole bunch of right-wing notables of the day. That's 3 to 4 tomorrow afternoon. How about that? 4 to 5 tomorrow is still to be announced. That's getting pretty close, but I'm sure there will be something amazingly great there, because there's a whole bunch of great stuff waiting to be scheduled before and after that. Okay, 5 to 6 tomorrow, and I believe, am I right? Yes, okay, 5 to 6 every day, Monday through Thursday, you'll be able to call into WFMU and speak to George Bush. Or a reasonable audio facsimile thereof. You may have heard the automated Andy on 7 second delay. You might have heard, actually, primarily the automated Andy, operated at times by Ken and at times by Scott. This time, I'm actually not even sure who's going to be running W in the studios, but I think it's going to be mostly Ken, but it could be that there's going to be more than one person pulling the sound bites, so to speak, for the W that's going to be on the air. That's 5 to 6 tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Tomorrow night, 6 to 7, Speakeasy with Dorian. Paul Krugman, editorial writer of the New York Times, is going to be on the line with Dorian. They're going to be talking. He's been on our show before, so they have, you know, pretty much rapport. He's a really, I mean, the last one, which was the first time he was down, was awesome. So 6 to 7 tomorrow, that's going to be live on 91.1 and on the web. Speakeasy with Dorian. Paul Krugman's the guest. 7 to 8:20, we have audio from Outfoxed, Rupert Murdoch's War on Journalism. That's 7 to 8:20 tomorrow. 8:20 to 11, live RNC remix, and that's okay. Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, from 8 to 11, roughly. I mean, maybe 8:20 is actually the hour for every day, but roughly 8 to 11, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. WFME is going to be offering up an alternative audio soundtrack to the Republican National Convention, so you can tune it in Channel 13, tune it in on C-SPAN as you like, and you can listen to WFMU at the same time. I should point out that Monday and Wednesday will be webcast only, so the sound syncing will be interesting. Since everyone's delay when they listen online is a little bit different, each person's experience of the live RNC remix is going to be a little bit different, and probably will add just as often as it detracts, I think, when it comes to the lack of precise syncing. That's 8:20 to 11. On Thursday, this, you know, the big night, the night of the inauguration, the coronation, Davis Baz has kindly offered up his time slot, so 8 to 11 on Thursday, there will be an audio hijack with an alternate soundtrack, and in fact, that one will also be live on WFMU, so that one will be in real time for people who are within the listening area. That's 8:20 to 11. 11 to 1, Pushpin. Lou's going to be doing a special web-only show. 11 to 1, The Political Beat. Lou's going to be spending 2 hours of political hip-hop. And then 1 in the morning to 9 in the morning is WFMU's Flaming Robot of Love. And wow. So much more. WFMU.org/RNC. Check it out and recommend it to your friends. It really, really is. There's a lot to it. It's a lot of fun. So let's hear a little bit of Sounds of War. Phones are kind of dry at the moment. We're going to listen to some little bit of War, and then maybe we'll hear some music after that, or maybe we'll just listen to War Sounds. I don't know. Probably not. Thank you. sure enough, that was the ladies of the Hot Cha Cha Kitchen Holiday Band. No, it's the Holiday City Hot Cha Kitchen Band. Bunch of old ladies playing fun stuff, though. I mean, other tracks feature kazoos and stuff, but I just couldn't resist God Bless America, of course, because that's what we're up to. We're talking about the RNC convention and what is America? You know, what is America? Is America, should America be a country that invades other countries on pretexts of limited value, or should America be a country that really exports peace instead of exporting domination and consumerism? I promised Bill Kelly that this would be an unbiased broadcast, but I've been known to lie, especially to Republicans. I think it's time. Phones are kind of dry. In a few minutes, in like 10 minutes, Chris T's going to be coming in. He's going to be helping with the phones. And he's also going to be running a soundboard that he's put together, I think. So it should be some sort of like sound collage meets people calling from the protest meets the Cosmic Cowboy chatting with Chris T for a little while. About politics and shit. That's kind of what we're doing, and that points out to you that this is a web-only cast. Of course, that little shit. But you know, that's part of freedom of speech. Which reminds me, you know, I've got a bit of an anecdote for you, if I may. I was down here last Thursday night for Pat Duncan's show, and I was doing sound, helping out with the engineering, and he had a band. He had these I don't know what else. I mean, mind you, I thought they were a really good sounding band. I thought they were competent and colorful, fun to listen to, and you know, pretty spirited. But boy, they were really young. They were like 15, 16, and 17, depending on you know. And they were down here with their parents. And man, if they weren't the most whiny upper middle class kids. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, they set up their equipment, and I'm, like, running cables and stuff, and they're talking about how many instruments they have, and one of them says to another, he's like, you got too many guitars. What have you got, three guitars? And the guy's like, I've got four guitars and three basses. And it was just, like, so appalling. I mean, this is a punk band. And it's like punk consumerism, just insanity. And mom, there were two moms and a dad. And the moms looked like they just walked straight out of the beauty parlor. I mean, they had like perfectly done hair with perfect highlights. And like while I was running cables and getting upset listening to the banter of the band, the parents had gone to get dinner. So they came back with McDonald's, of course. I mean, they couldn't go next door to the Flaming O Diner, which admittedly is a mixed bag, but at least it's colorful and it's an independent business. They drove far away, well, six blocks or eight blocks, whatever, far away to go to a McDonald's so that they could get the standardized fare that their little boys love. And they show up, they come back, you know, and the boys come out and greet them, and like it's just nonstop. They're like, where are my fries? Where's my shake? Oh, there's not enough of this. There's no ketchup. It's just nonstop. They were like little, it almost was like, it was kind of like terns, like birds on the beach. Like the kids were just like, with their mouths up in the air, wide open, just like screaming, and the parents were like thought that that's what children should be like, and they were just running around trying to keep them happy, like, oh my God, they're screaming again. I have to help out. I have to get them more fries. They were like, do you have ketchup somewhere? It was really the most insane thing. So then they're playing away, and I was enjoying it, And I guess, oh, I know what it was. They were about to play, and Pat was saying something about our language policy and how it was important that they not curse. And one of the moms was like, oh, wow, I hate it when they curse too. And I didn't say anything then, but I'm like at the board kind of twiddling knobs. And there's just steam coming out of my ears because I'm thinking like, these are parents who are like, oh, aren't my little punk boys cute? And so I walk over and I said, you know, I've been thinking about what you're cursing like, and I feel so strongly that the government has no business in regulating what comes out of people's mouths, that I really wish your boys were in there singing about eating each other's shit. I got a great look from both of them, but it just seemed really imperative that I act like more of a punk than their twatty little boys. So there's my little twatty punk story. So let's follow that up with something. Oh, let's hear "Deep in the Heart of Texas" by the Furco String Band. And then in a few minutes, Christy will be in here. With any luck, we'll be getting some more calls. Things seem to have been petering out a little bit, but maybe as things pick up in Central Park, we'll get some more calls from up there. I'm assuming that they will. But Chris has got some fancy soundboard, so we're going to have all sorts of audio delights in just a moment. And in the meantime, "Deep in the Heart of Texas" from the Furco String Band. How about that? About that. We're here on WFMU. I'm not hearing very well for some reason. Oh, there we go. I've been twiddling knobs without paying attention to what I'm twiddling. Okay. I'm the Cosmic Cowboy. We just heard No Business Like Show Business from the Marching Down Broadway album by the band of the Coldstream Guards. And in fact, folks have been marching down Broadway today, not for very far, but from Fifth Avenue to Union Square, which I guess is like, I don't know, what, like 8 blocks or something like that, 7 blocks. But yes, in fact, people have been marching down Broadway to protest the Republican National Convention, which begins in New York tomorrow. That's kind of why we're on the air here at WFMU with this special political-oriented and largely lefty web stream. And, you know, no business by, like show business. I think there's going to be some kind of action on 42nd Street tonight, if I'm not mistaken. As usual, I'm poorly informed. That was one of the things that I didn't get to do while I was in jail. It was great getting me all excited, but it really didn't help me to get my papers in order and get lists of things that were coming up. But there is going to be some sort of action on 42nd Street tonight, this evening. I mean, I believe, when do shows start? 6, 7, something like that. Tonight's the big night for the delegates to go to Broadway. They can go and see Bombay Your Way or whatever that thing is. So you might want to, I don't know if what's going to happen, but what'll probably happen is that the police will cordon off the entire Times Square, 42nd Street area, as they've done before when there was any suspicion that protests were going to happen, and they'll just make you prove that you're some sort of establishment type to get in there. No long hairs, no smelly, pierced freaks allowed. But it might be, if you're in that vicinity, it might be kind of fun to be around Times Square around 7 and see what's going on. That's a nice sound. I'd like to welcome my co-host for this period. And there we go. Well, it's nice to be
Representative Traffic
on the air as well, right? Like, mm-hmm. Instead of silence, we've got you on. Christy here in the studio.
I finally made it down, and it's nice to be here during this extra special experiment. WFMU is all about experimentation still.
Are we clinking to that?
Sure. Let's clink to that as well.
That's kind of experimental. We could just clink and make music in an effort to be experimental, but I think we've got actually a lot more targeted experimentalism going on today.
I hear you were in jail. That's targeted experimentalism.
Here she is, the big house, the stony lonesome, the thug jug, the mobster trap, Penn State, the old crook.
Shut up!
Look at those phonies sucking up to Bush.
Sucking up to Bush. That's what it's all about.
That's what we're doing.
That's what we're trying to do.
The thing is, we're just not very good at it here at WFMU.
Sucking up, you're right.
Especially not to Bush. We're not really good at sucking up. But
I don't remember sucking up to Clinton either.
No, honestly, frankly. Me neither.
You'd have to go back to, like, I would have sucked up to Kennedy if he had been around. You know,
Carter?
No, Carter. Yeah, I might have sucked up to him a little bit. Carter seemed like a good man for the job, but just overwhelmed by the course of history.
Yeah, I mean, for my taste, he was a little intensely religious, but definitely the last man that I actually would have wanted to go out and vote for.
I'm a big believer, by the way, and I've gone on record as saying this, in the separation of church and state. Very important concept in our society.
Well, absolutely. Got
to keep the two away from each other, because I don't want to be treated based on which God you believe in. I don't want to be dealt with based upon who you kneel down to. That should have nothing to do with it.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
I couldn't agree more strongly.
And that's my number one problem, I mean, among many with the current administration, is that they have really taken that line, that separation, and they've made it as malleable as possible and porous in some places.
That's reminding me that I really wanted part of this show to feature some, like, heaven-bound kind of songs and a little bit of rapture stuff, because I think that totally affects their policies.
The pie-in-the-sky set?
The pie in
where we're all supposed to wait for pie-in-the-sky and
exactly.
The sweet by-and-by? That old one? Didn't they try to sell that to us before? I want my treasure here on Earth. What if there is no by and by? I mean, that's the whole reason there's a separation of church and state. I may not believe in a great hereafter.
Well, there you go.
I want a decent amount of pay while I'm here on the planet. I want some health coverage, damn it. I want to be able to take 2 or 3 weeks off a year. I want even the little things that the middle class used to think it had coming to it, you know? And now it's like they don't think they have shit coming to them.
Yeah, that's a fact.
They have...
It was hard, wasn't it, that shit?
It wasn't hard. They won on the
basis...
No.
just getting that shit out.
Yeah. Yeah, I see. I'm now realizing we're on the web, and I can curse with absolute abandon, as I usually do. You know me, Jason. Yeah. I curse like a sailor.
Yeah. So I mentioned earlier that this great shirt that I saw while I was in jail, and in fact on the ride before that, it was a homemade one, and it had like little nice unicorns and stuff on the front, like Care Bear style, and on the back it said, "God hates universal healthcare."
I like that. That's pretty good.
Right. Impossible, you say. Right. Not according to Jesus.
Everything is possible with Jesus, Jason.
Yeah, well, you know, I think Jesus would have a lot of trouble with what's going on in the religion world today.
Yeah, it's the old line, if Jesus came back and saw everything that was happening in his name, he'd never stop vomiting.
Yeah, I don't think we can...
Picture Jesus vomiting.
Exactly.
Right outside Madison Square Garden.
I mean, just like any other guy, man, he's dead, and he's not coming back.
Yeah.
And he's not in heaven.
We're on our own. We're all alone in the world. Yeah, it's
It's a desolate reality, but it's in one sense. And in another sense, it's really great.
I got to write that down because that'd be a great band name. Desolate Reality. I'm trying to imagine what kind of stuff they would do. Hey, we're Desolate Reality from New Jersey. How y'all doing?
That would be great. I wish Pat's band last week had been Desolate Reality and not whoever they were.
Let's pretend we're at the convention for just a minute.
Oh, great. Sure.
Address the convention.
Hi there, folks. I hope, I sure hope that you're not going to be voting for George Bush in the upcoming election, because I'm compelled to support him as a delegate here. I don't think there's any choice. I mean, I don't see how I could continue to maintain the economic connections that I have without supporting George Bush. So that's why I'm here, and I'm going to vote for him because I have to, but I really hope that anyone who's not as rich and greedy as I am doesn't vote for him.
Boy, the crowd is really responding to what you have to say. That's great. I love being at the convention. It's fantastic. But, you know, I was talking to Ken Friedman a few minutes ago about how this piece I saw on the Bill Moyers Show Now, they talked about how it's not about the conventions anymore. It's about the parties that are thrown when the convention is in town. The billionaires that get together and throw these huge, lavish parties and invite all of the legislators to the party in order to get access to government. It really is about access. It's about paying for access.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And getting to whisper in the ear of these people and possibly vote against the best interests of the American public.
Oh.
And that's the part that really doesn't sit well with me. I think you are elected officials. You should really, you know, respond to the majority of the will in your constituency. And instead, you respond to the people who throw you a lavish party with Lynyrd Skynyrd and Southern Boogie all night.
It's hard not to think about that because it really seems so conspicuous these days. Hey, how about that? We've got a call.
We've got a caller. Let's go live into the studio.
Hey there, you're on the WFMU webcast live.
Yeah, hi, I'm standing out here in front of about, I don't know how many pallbearers at West 33rd and 7th Avenue. I think it goes for about 4 or 5 blocks. It's at least eight coffins wide and stretching way back down, back towards where we started out this morning, 14th Street.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, man, been walking for hours trying to get up there. It's just totally packed.
Wow. Trying to get up where?
Trying to get up to Madison Square Garden.
Oh, okay. And what are in these caskets that you're carrying? You said you're carrying caskets of some kind?
There's
of pallbearer?
There's just under 1,000 to equal all the deaths of the U.S. soldiers, and their flag-draped caskets and black caskets being carried by volunteers and original pallbearers, and they're probably 4 blocks long, and it's up at the front here, it's about 8 caskets, 10 caskets wide.
I love that. That sounds really visual.
Yeah, it's like 1,000 coffins. Actually,
1,000 coffins.
Top, yeah.
987 of them, or whatever it is. We're right here at the Fox News intersection here, and everybody was chanting Fox sucks for about 10 minutes.
Oh, great. Oh, that's a great way to get yourself on Fox. Yeah, maybe you should be chanting Fox is great, Fox is great, like a la Akbar or something.
Yeah.
You should try an opposite approach to yelling Fox sucks.
Well, they're trying a lot of approaches, but it's just amounting to a lot of mayhem, you know. Of course,
but I want to know if
the cops are moving in on
What's your name, caller?
My name is Merlin Larson. I came from L.A. to come here and
Merlin's come all the way from Los Angeles.
That's awesome. Yeah, right. Thanks for coming, Merlin.
The cops are carrying guys off for burning sage.
Are you in danger of being carted off by the cops yourself?
No.
That's good, because I want to ask you a question. Now, is there anything in any of the coffins, or are the coffins just empty?
No, they're empty. They're cardboard with homemade flags laying over the top of them. Everybody's really being respectful. People who were wearing, who had no shirts on, were asked not to carry the coffins out of a sign of respect.
Good. And, no shirts, no shoes, no service.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right. It's a beautiful thing, man. They're just stretching out, stretching way down.
Yes.
Way down the avenue.
Well, you've come out from L.A. just for this, you're saying?
Yeah, I flew all the way here for this. Well, I get a little tired of listening to the news and not really being able to do anything. I thought by the time I got to be, 30, 35, there'd be better ways than demonstrating in the streets, but it just seems like that's the way it is.
Yeah, I have to agree, and it's an interesting thing, Republicans make out Democrat, protesters to be, dirty hippies who are dangerous somehow for this system. But it's funny, that's really the access that the left has to politics, whereas the right has these parties that go on, and they have
special interests in the
exactly. They've got money, and they're buying their access, and it's really interesting. That dynamic, I've been thinking about that a lot.
Well, the Democrats do it, too. The Democrats did it during Boston. They held big parties. And
sure.
It's like these companies, as was mentioned on the Bill Moyers program.
Again, we're talking in degrees of
right.
Of greed.
Thing is that the Democrats are much more embarrassed by it. The Republicans will openly grab the money because they have no problems with avarice. Their whole thing is avarice. It's all about, social Darwinism and letting those who are too weak to really support themselves fall by the wayside, while the rest of us who are healthy and rich soldier on, march on. But the Democrats I've had my problems with them over the years too, especially the Clinton administration. That was the process of real globalization with the all the things NAFTA
that the Tea Party.
That for me really began to signal the beginning of the end of the American middle class, something a place from which I emerged, and I guess I have some kind of consciousness about it. What I'm saying?
There's an awful lot of middle class out here, a lot of crippled people, a lot of old people, a lot of children.
Now, what is your role in all this, Myron? Are you actually hoisting a casket?
No, I was, and now I'm just wandering around taking it all in.
You're calling WFMU. You're doing something really important. That's what everybody should be doing today.
And how did you find out? Did you get a flyer, or did you know about FMU listening?
A friend of mine from upstate handed me, actually somebody I just met, heard I was coming down and just gave me the information.
Oh, that's great. That's great to hear. That's great to hear.
I'll pass it around.
Thanks very much.
Myron, thanks for calling.
Absolutely.
All right. Go meet a nice hippie chick today. That's my assignment for you. You came all the way from L.A., you might as well, right? Or boy, hippie boy, whatever you want. Hello, welcome to the air.
Did I make a face?
No. I just felt like I was not being inclusive, that's all. No. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Todd, your roving reporter.
Todd, the roving reporter who saw you get taken away by the police?
Not exactly.
No, he didn't see what happened.
He just knew.
He
pieced it together.
Right, okay, good. Todd, thanks for the email.
I was just axed from the parade. I'd been going up in the opposite direction so that I could, more easily, find groups, to talk and people to talk.
Uh-huh. Right.
And all of a sudden, the cop decided, you can't go that way, in that direction. And I told him, I've been calling into a radio station, going the opposite direction of the parade so I can, run across more people. No, you cannot go in that direction.
He wanted you to be...
Fall in.
I was going the opposite direction of the flow. So I just stopped, and I was standing there, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "Well, I can't go in that direction, so I'm just going to wait here, and as people pass, I'm going to put them on the radio."
Yeah.
And he goes, "Well, there's supposed to be no bikes in this procession." And I was like, "Come on."
Is that true?
And he grabbed my bike, and he started wheeling it away. And I'm like, "Where are you going?" And it's like, "Yeah, I got to put it on the other side of the barricades." And he just flipped it over onto the other side of the fence.
Todd? You know why he did that?
Why?
Your bike could be plastic explosives. You could have pieced it together the night before in a mold, and you could be trying to ride it down to ground zero or wherever the hell you were going to set it alight.
I thought that would have been great when I saw them take away a truckload of bicycles the other night. If somebody had implanted some, like, remote control device. Nothing too harmless, but just something that would have, like, shot out some sparks and smoke. It would have been pretty exciting.
That would have been really great. And that's,
So right now there's a break-off march. A bunch of the Yippie types and squatter types are going to try to extend the march from Union Square down to Tompkins Square Park. And it's hello.
Oh, cool. Yeah, no, we're listening.
Yeah. So it look, you know, all the cops are jumping on motorcycles and scooters. It's actually a small procession of like squatter types, but it could be interesting. So I'm gonna follow that.
Oh, that sounds
now,
good.
Now, let me ask you, Todd. When you follow that procession, are you going to be going in the wrong direction, i.e., back towards the start of the parade?
No, this is the parade officially ends at Union Square. And
okay.
There's just a bunch of people milling around, and I guess now they're getting antsy. So some people want to, you know, do some direct confrontation with the police, it looks like, and march to Tompkins Square Park.
Those people are called Republican agitators, Todd.
Yeah.
The people of which you speak. I'm convinced of it. All these people you see on the evening news burning the flags and all, come on.
It's entirely possible. I mean, it doesn't sound like there's been too much of that today. And in fact, like, I just want to bring up something. Like, when I got out of jail the other night, I went down to claim my possessions, you know, my bag, my keys to my house and stuff like that. And they have this like special trailer set up at Pearl Street and at the intersection of Pearl and St. James downtown. It's meant to be 24 hours through the end of the convention, so that all of these,
like those trailers you see on construction sites,
exactly,
kind of
exactly.
The air conditioner sitting on top, yeah.
Like however many.
It'll take about 40 guys to topple that, probably. I think on one side, 40 guys. 40 guys and gals. Again, I'm not being inclusive.
That tells you, like, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that tells you just how incredibly, like, outrageously peaceful the folks were who were arrested at the critical mass ride. Because after we got out of jail, and I mean, it was a tiny trickle of people getting out, but we went down, I personally went down alone to claim my crap there, and, I mean, shit. And, so, and I get there, and there's someone walking away from the trailer who has just claimed their shit, and a cop comes up to me and says, "You can't go over there. There's a situation."
What the fuck is a situation?
A situation turned out, like, it's also beautiful. I went then, I was like, "Oh, there's a situation. I'm going to get something to drink." Like, and at that time, after 24 hours in custody, I got orange juice, iced tea, and water.
Sounds like a good combination.
I needed all of those things before I could have
caffeine, a little vitamin C, some H2O. Sure,
but then a beer. I needed all of those things.
I was gonna say, I couldn't believe you had two drinks before you had a beer.
But I need. But I had to. So in any case, I go into this store.
By the way, call it the Stripey Hole from now on. When you say instead of jail,
okay,
the Stripey Hole.
The Stripey Hole.
That'll be the phrase for the next 30 minutes, and then we'll change it to something else.
Okay.
Yeah, I always like Stripey Hole.
Okay, so I got out of the Stripey Hole, but I go into this store and I actually, like, there's kind of an old guy, like, he's like 60 or something, gray haired behind the counter, and it's like a total old timey corner store, and I put my stuff up there, and I mean, and I sigh, and I just wanted to tell everybody, you know, you go through something like that.
Yeah, you've just been sprung, of course
you go through something like that. So I was like, you know, plus I found out I couldn't get my shit from the trailer, and that it might be a while. Like,
because there's a situation
here. You know, situations can take a long time. So I say to this old man, I'm like, I just got out of jail, and I come down to this trailer to get my shit, and they tell me there's a situation. And he says, I guess he had some sort of scanner, because he said, oh, yeah, I just heard on the radio that there's some sort of, that there's a bus with an unidentified package.
A bus with an unidentified package.
But in fact, it wasn't on, I found out later it was not the bus, that it was actually sitting on the side of the street. And so sitting on the side of the street, and it really did take an entire hour before they cleared, before there was an all clear. I should have guessed.
They're being...
Wait. I say all clear.
Right.
And I was able to get my shit. But by that time, there were like 20. I mean, when I arrived, there was only one person who hadn't been allowed to get their shit in front of me. And at that time, there were at least 20. And did we try?
Did you have to go to the back of that line? Or did
No. Well, but because what a decent crowd. They knew that I'd been there because, you know, like. Because
they'd seen in your hands that you had an empty water bottle, an empty orange juice bottle, iced tea bottle.
It's funny because it had become a crowd by that point,
right.
and it like just naturally kind of condensed into, like, they made us actually get into a line within like a snaky barrier thing that they had created to hold the protesters while they're waiting to get their shit back.
Like you're waiting to get into the Apollo or something. What are you saying?
It's
like,
exactly.
What the hell is that?
So we didn't try and push the trailer over. That was the point. That whole story was.
I'm glad that you brought that back to where we began. I
can't believe I remembered.
I can't believe I remembered either. But that is where we began. Is Todd still on the phone?
Todd's on the phone. And he actually also has an abandoned bag story.
Yeah, right? I was passing Barnes & Noble on 17th Street, and all of a sudden they started running yellow tape from Barnes & Noble to the left post. And it's like, what's going on?
You can't buy books anymore?
Right.
You're not supposed to be buying books right now.
Sorry, banned for the RNC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've come for the books. I don't believe it. Yes, Todd? I'm sorry. So what did they say when you asked them?
They had a situation. It was a black backpack sitting in the middle of the sidewalk. It was actually sitting next to a couple of bicycles. It was clearly like a backpack that somebody had forgotten for whatever, you know, stoned reason. And, oh yeah, they were going to have to call the bomb squad and everything. And I told the
cops,
like,
if you want, I'll walk over and check it out.
You know, it's like, I'm really not afraid. And but no, they had to wait for the proper suited man. And
Todd, wait a minute. Go back for a minute, because I'm not sure if we heard you correctly.
No, I mean, no.
Didn't he just say what I thought? He said he offered to go over and check the bag.
But the thing is, Todd, it's an odd thing. What I was going to say is Todd doesn't play the lottery.
Right. So he gambles with a bag.
No. The point is, like, if you don't believe in the chance of winning the lottery, then you also don't believe in the chance of being blown up by a black backpack in front of Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, or being hit by some flying glass or something.
It wasn't anywhere where it would have made any kind of statement, you know. I think if somebody was dropping a bomb somewhere...
They wouldn't have blown up at Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
It was just like off to the side of the Barnes & Noble, too. It was in front of some men's toot shop. I mean, maybe that's worth blowing up.
It's like a lefty, smelly anarchist
statement.
What
do they have against men's suits? I have no idea. Are they made from animal products now? Leather men's suits? Or what kind of suits were they, Todd?
No, they were just, you know...
Regular suits, like a wool merino, for instance. Yeah. Or maybe a lightweight summer weave.
What did they call it? What is that?
201-209-9368. I'm going to give out the phone number in case there's anybody that's listening.
No, they're welcome to call if they're home, but they're encouraged to call their friends who are going to Central Park.
Who are actually not at home.
Have you heard from anyone up in Central Park?
Not in hours.
Not an hour. So I guess... I'm just going to grab a quick bite, and then I guess I'm going to ride going on at this point.
I don't know. I mean, if you want to follow the yippies, that's fine, but do make it to Central Park at some point.
I'm going in that direction, but they seem...
They're losing their steam?
They dwindled to about 10 of them, you know, so they're not really making that much of a...
They certainly won't get the attention of the police in those numbers.
No.
Hmm. Well, you know, it's nice that you've got Todd out there on his bicycle, but Todd, try to hold on to your bike today.
Please,
I was really upset by the part in the email where Todd said you were worried about losing the bike you'd had since you were a child.
Absolutely. It was like some bike that you had forever. And I could never afford to replace it.
Right.
It's a really hot shit bike.
What kind of bike is it?
It's a Vista. It was like Japanese technology at its best in 1983.
Wow.
Like,
well, you know, they made great cameras, so I'm sure they made great
cameras. Yeah, it's really like... I mean, I'm afraid to even go to a shop because I'm afraid they'll tell me that it needs a new derailleur and it's $400.
Yeah.
So I just ride it around in like 90% condition, and it's so great, even in that shape.
And you got a chit for your bike, though. You were able to get your bike back.
In the end, it was. I have not gotten it back, and
you still don't have your bike.
It was. I have to say, it was really, really well documented, and I have a lot of confidence. And ultimately, my legal aid lawyer assured me that their potential liability was so great that there really was little risk that the police wouldn't take care of my bike, which was nice to hear. But the reality is that I was off. I could have pled guilty, and I would have been released, four times served. So all I would have, they would have just basically let me go.
Yeah. If you just cop to it.
If I just cop to it, I would have been able to get my bike back. But because I pled not guilty, which is true, because I went with the truth, I have to wait until the end of October.
How dare you go with the truth?
My bike is.
Haven't you gotten with the program? Yet? The last 4 years have been trying to teach you that the truth,
Chris,
really isn't helpful.
I'm retarded.
The truth won't get you where you want to be in life, Jason.
Chris, I'm retarded. That's like everybody else
I'm
knows
sure
that around here.
That.
Like,
you haven't figured that out?
Like everybody else around the station knows that I'm like not all there. That
but what
that I do stupid shit like pleading not guilty when I'm not guilty.
Listen, you're a man of principle though. So you know, like I am, I probably would have done the same thing if I wasn't guilty. I wouldn't have pleaded guilty. But what they pick you up for? What'd they say you were doing?
Well, you know, is pled not okay? I think pled's okay.
Pled not guilty?
I said that to someone from the National Lawyers Guild when I got out, and then I corrected myself and said pleaded, and he said pled's fine.
No, pled is proper. Pled is proper.
Okay, sorry.
Pled. Yeah,
okay.
Sure. Okay.
I just thought because you said pleaded. Because
William Sapphire is listening.
I actually kind of thought for a long time that pled wasn't a word, that it was always pleaded. But
no, pled.
He pled guilty.
P-L-E-D, I think. Let's, you know, I could be wrong.
P-L-E-A-D, right?
No.
Like pled.
Yeah, P-L-E-A-D. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm completely lost now. Todd.
We've got a copy editor on the line. Thank
Todd,
goodness.
Todd, if you see a linguist in the streets right now, could you grab him and put him on the phone? Where?
Todd. He's...
Oh, Todd is a linguist.
Pled is correct.
And is it P-L-E-D or P-L-E-A-D?
It's got an A.
Oh, my God. There goes my cred.
That's C-R-E-D. That I know.
It's cred. P-L-E-D.
Oh, P-L-E-D.
Okay.
Sorry. It's a good thing we weren't playing Scrabble, right?
Well, we didn't take too long to figure that out.
No. But
we could have worked through. Even if we were playing Scrabble.
I would like to hear from somebody in Central Park. I want to know what's going on up there. So, you know, how is there? Is there
that's
a possibility?
That's you know, you've hit on one of the odd oddities of this show is
right.
that the people who are calling to participate are mutually
show,
exclusive
yeah.
from the people who are hearing the show.
I know, but it does make for a special sort of concept. There.
Yeah,
no,
I'm hanging on the phone right now so I can hear you guys for once. But I happen to be in the East Village, and I just realized I'm riding my bike. Still talking on the cell phone. I've like now got my douchebag credentials.
Well,
I hope no one sees me.
Well, if you need them anywhere, you need them in the East Village, Tom. Well, so don't worry about that.
If you get arrested by someone cool who says that you're breaking some douchebag law, I will come down and I'll testify and let them know that that's actually your wife's cell phone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and she needed you to run to the store.
And we've got another call, so we're gonna move on, and you can go wherever you like. Okay.
Hello. Thanks, Todd. Hello.
Hi.
You're on the web.
Hey.
Is that proper?
It's troubling. Like I keep saying, you're on the air, but like, yeah, you're live on the.
You're
webcast.
Not on the radio. Hello.
Yes, this is Bill W. at the Great Lawn.
I'm a friend of Bill W.'s.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Wait, we're on the web. That means I can say fuck, right?
Yes, you can say fuck as much as your heart's desire.
I just put your fader up so you can say fuck again if you like. It'll be even more audible.
Once you get past the novelty, you know, then you could settle right in.
Well, I just left my friends and their two kids because they were throwing fucking dirt all over each other and disturbing the other sun worshippers. So
in the park, in Central Park.
Yeah.
Are you still in the park?
I am. I'm right by the Delacorte Theater looking out at the southern third of the Great Lawn, which is filling up with assorted people. And, you know, it's pretty much, I'd say, the usual suspects from everything dating back to the anti-nuke rally I remember from 82.
Right.
But you know, the media is chasing around, you know, any groups that they can, and for a while it was just the clown army who were running around.
There's an actual army of clowns. Is that what you're saying?
Nice. Yeah, they all came in one small car, and
that's great.
They're wearing olive jumpsuits that say Mission Accomplicated on it. And
I like it.
They're shouting, where are the weapons of mass destruction, et cetera. And then there are people, you know, the anarchists are debating the libertarians, and the socialists are debating the Terry Democrats.
But you're not on the sheep meadow, right?
What's that?
It's not the sheep meadow. It's the Great Lawn.
It's the Great Lawn. Right. If people went to the sheep meadow, they're probably... well, people were still coming in from both sides, east and west, as far as I can see. From,
good, good. I mean, people down at the march, people are still marching. The 1,000 coffins are actually still on 7th Avenue headed uptown, I believe.
Uh-huh.
So it sounds like there could be potentially quite a few more people coming to Central Park. I'm glad to hear that there are some people.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, what's that rhythmic thing we hear going on behind you? Is that like a band? Or
That's I think, a solitary drummer who I can't seem to
Can you get near the drummer? Let's hear what the drummer's doing. We'll get a little audio from the scene.
Sounds pretty much like a park drummer.
Is he a hippie?
I can't see him. He must be behind a tree or something. I'm just glad he's drowning out the helicopters because it was just, you know, nonstop.
I think he's signaling the other Republican operatives.
Can you give us some helicopters? There was one call earlier with pretty loud helicopters, and there's no bed for this show better than helicopters.
Yeah, yeah. There's one stationary right over the Great Lawn.
Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing intimidates like a big helicopter, right?
Exactly.
I mean, everybody...
But it's not black or anything, so, you know.
It's not shooting...
And there's that one blimp that's been over the city all week, Fujifilm. Are there FBI in there?
Well, it says NYPD, doesn't it?
It should say NYPD on
it. I believe it does.
It's an NYPD blimp.
So they just rented it from Fuji? Or what?
Fuji's now sponsoring the NYPD. Fine law enforcement brought to you by Fujifilm. When you need the police, think of Fuji. What are they going to do with this? This is a crossover that I never thought I'd see. Hey, see if you can give the finger to the blimp, Bill.
Well,
Can you give the finger
the
to the blimp?
No, the blimp isn't here. I'm just wondering if, you know...
Well, in fact, they are watching you. Yeah, we can tell you're running out of change, too. I don't know. Oh, is that more you put in? Good. Yeah, you sound beautiful after a day of cell phones. It's really a pleasure to be on a Verizon payphone.
Yeah, that is great that Verizon still has payphones around the
city. Thank you, Verizon, for facilitating this protest broadcast.
I feel like such a Luddite, but...
I think it's great. The Delacorte Theater, where is that? So we could place it in geography in the park. I'm not really clear.
It's right at the south end of the Great Lawn, like around 80th Street in the middle of the park.
And what goes on in the Delacorte Theater?
Shakespeare in the Park, where you can stand for 6 hours for free tickets while people who buy $500 memberships
There
you go. What could be more representative?
Who can do that? I couldn't do
billionaires
that.
Billionaires for Bush.
Okay, I think we're down to 25 cents a minute now, so I think I'm going to be going.
Okay. And
thanks, Bill.
Chris is running choppers like mad. He's searching for choppers. Thank you, Bill.
I'm searching the skies for choppers. Yeah.
I mean, you were talking about, like, when I heard you the other night on your own show, you were like, I'm afraid of blimps. That was a great line. What a great thing to be afraid of.
You know why I'm afraid? You know, I could tell you why that is. I mean, there is a reason for it, which is that they can really get a bead on you in a blimp. If they needed to.
Oh, because they're not moving too fast?
You know, okay, it's not moving too fast.
And it's not vibrating?
If they needed to haul out the acoustical horn and hit you with some sound, you know?
It's probably really great for viewing. I didn't even think about that, of course.
It's fantastic for getting a bead on you, too.
Yeah, wow.
Drop anything on your head from that height. 201-209-WFMU.
Yeah, you know.
There's no one listening who could actually call that, though.
Well, but
that we need to hear from.
It could be that. I would take. I mean, I've left it open when I've talked about it before to people calling from home, if they feel, you know, if they've got convictions or if they want to comment on the convention. Maybe they're home and they want to.
Jason, what if they're just homebound? Maybe they can't get out to the march. I mean, it could be that there's a shut-in or. Hermit or something listening? You never know.
That's true.
Is hermit politically incorrect now? I almost feel like it's not the right word to use.
I think hermit is the perfect word. There's something...
Is it better than shut in?
Oh, I think they're two different things.
Yeah.
I know they're two different things.
You could be a hermit and a shut in. Is that what you're saying? Could conceivably be both.
I think if you're a shut-in, that it precludes being a hermit. I mean, if you're a shut-in and a hermit, then you're lucky.
Okay, yeah. It's like hitting the
Because you can't go out and you don't want to.
If you're a hermit and a shut-in and you're antisocial, that is the trifecta.
That is
right, yeah.
I mean, I kind of assume that, like, a shut-in can't go out and a hermit doesn't want to go out.
Shut-in does imply that you are unable to get, you know, to be ambulatory, as they say. You're not ambulatory, right. I guess.
And this show goes out to the sick and the shut-ins out there. We're doing it all for you.
We do have, by the way,
in God's name,
the new Bush commercial, the radio commercial. It's playing only in the red states and the swing states.
Wow.
We haven't heard it here, but when I was in Ohio, I was able to get audio of it.
Let's hear it.
And I think this would be something that, unless you're in the state of Ohio or perhaps Pennsylvania, you're not really going to hear this.
Together, we shall rule this earth. The old world will burn in the fires of industry. The forests will fall. A new order will rise. We will drive the machine of war with the sword and the spear, and we have only to remove those who oppose us.
Its victory is at hand. To war!
There will be no dawn for men.
Wow, that was incredibly sinister sounding.
The new Bush commercial. It is. It's just that they can get away with that in the swing states, that they would even try.
I mean, that's
that.
Almost like the same ad that someone who didn't want to elect Bush would use.
That's the most amazing part about it, I think. Actually,
in fact, oh man, okay. Well, we'll get to that later. That reminds me that I was notified of a guy who's in New York. He lives in New York, but he's got a dot matrix printer on his bicycle, and it's web enabled, and you can send him a message online, and it'll spray out of his dot matrix printer onto the sidewalk in like water soluble chalk that lasts for 10 to 15 days.
You're shitting me.
No, I'm not shitting
this
you.
This sounds like, oh my God, the technology involved just to do that sounds amazing.
The guy sounds like he's got his act together. Oh, wow, how about that?
I can't believe that there's a guy with a bicycle, you say, with a dot matrix printer that's web-enabled that could spit out your words in water-soluble chalk.
Yeah.
Is that what you just said to me?
That's what I said.
That's amazing.
And he's a radical lefty. And you know what? I'm going to do you mind if we hear Oil by the Missile Dick Chicks?
Oh, I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Okay, so let's hear Oil, and then we'll tell you about this guy and his really great dot matrix printer. Okay? So let's hear the Missile Dick Chicks. I guess that's not the one. We're on one? Okay, cool. Oh, it's doing its thing. I've been kind of like...
Without petroleum, your life would blow. Your plastic trash beans and your ripped dildos are made from oil.
That's what we want. That's what we want.
lives from an oil war. Plenty of oil.
Damn, I was doing that earlier. Why is that looping? If I'd let Chris T run that in the first place,
I'm gonna blame Bill Gates. That's why it's still running.
No, I think
whenever anything goes wrong with Windows, it's his fault.
Okay, but the thing is, if you had been in charge, it wouldn't have happened. And in fact, it happened to me over and over again today. And I keep thinking I have to take that out of loop mode, and that's as far as I've gotten. And then I get distracted, and someone calls or something, and.
It's all okay. It'll all be okay in the end. We're trying right now to get to the to this website, Bikes Against Bush.
Right.
And what are they about? What is that whole story there?
It's a guy who's got like a dot matrix printer, and it's on the back of his bicycle.
There is video of it on the website. That's amazing.
The guy is hot shit. The guy is obviously got his technology. Technology is subject to this man's whim.
He is painting the word love from the back of his bicycle, which has a web-enabled dot matrix printer. And there is video at bikesagainstbush.com.
Bikesagainstbush.com. That's a really good place to go.
And we can get in touch with this man. He's.
I don't know. He may be backed up at this point because it's the prime day of the RNC. But he's here all week, and you can email him a message that will go straight to his machine. Oh no, actually, he does. I think edit them. I mean, to the degree that he chooses them, and he says they have to be family friendly somewhat. Anyway, they can include obscene messages.
The performance will be live during each day of the RNC, here.
And, oh, so maybe not even today, but
times
probably.
Will be announced on the website soon.
Right, well, and he may be, master of technology, but doesn't have his stuff completely up to date. He must be a busy man this week.
I should tell you that submitted messages should be under 120 characters, may not contain profanity or obscene language. Fuck! That's too bad.
that's a damn shame.
I wanted them to spray paint fuck Bush on the sidewalk, and that's not going to happen, right?
And it's not paint. It's sprayed.
It's chalk.
It's sprayed in water-soluble chalk, but in fact, it's the same thing that they make the lines on football fields with. So it lasts a while. It's
good.
It doesn't go right away. It'll last, 10 days or something.
Someone asks him the question, will you print pro-Bush messages as well?
No, is what he says. He says fans of Bush have plenty of access to the media, and that's not his job.
Right. That's no. Bikes Against Bush, as the name implies, intends to promote a political dialogue contrary to the agenda set forth by the GOP and the Bush administration.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm sorry.
Speaking of which, I walked in the door today, and Bill Kelly asked me if my show would be fair and balanced. And I just immediately said no. And then when I thought about it, I was like, fair and balanced? The only show that I know that uses that as a catchphrase is the farthest thing from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know whether – I don't think he was trying to ask me whether – like, I don't think he meant that ironically.
No.
But
because we live in a post-ironic world where a show that calls itself fair and balanced, or a network that calls itself fair and balanced, is not fair and balanced at all.
Right. Well, we may live in a post-ironic world, but in fact, I refuse to give up my irony. I figure, damn, I'm an old man and I want to be ironic. They'll just have to deal with it. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Well, it's fair and balanced is all. We don't have to be fair and balanced. Is that what you're saying? There's no conceivable reason why we would need to be fair and balanced. about anything.
No, but you know, honestly, a guy called up earlier who had a Fry Mumia sign, and Todd put him on the phone. And I mean, I had just been playing and talking to Billionaires for Bush, and so I was in irony land. And Todd puts this guy on, and I realized that he really is like he's anti-gun control, and it, this was not a, Fry Mumia was not a joke. And so it took me like at least 30 seconds to go from irony land back into, you know, post irony land. And as I did, I was like, I mean, I kind of tried to go with him for a second, and then I was like, what am I doing? Like, this is not parody. This is the real thing. So I started like, you know, contesting what he was saying. You know, he was saying that, you know, New York and Washington have the strictest gun control laws and look at how much crime there is. And, you know, I pointed out that in fact, a lot of other states.
Because all our guns come from Virginia.
I pointed that out. So that was really kind of, I don't know. I guess that was kind of loud, but I don't mind. A little protest noise here at WFMU.
No,
Ken and Gaylord are out.
I'm one of those people that I want to eavesdrop on every conversation that's going on.
We have to share with the listeners. Ken and Gaylord are out there in the reception area, and they're marching back and forth with signs, and they're chanting, "Fuck Bush! Fuck Bush!" over and over again.
And I told them to come in here and just say it on mic if that's what they'd like to do.
But they were shy. Of course, as soon as we tried to involve them, they were like, oh, I'm sorry. We didn't mean to bother you. And they went away. Like, we were like, you're not bothering us. That's just the bed we're looking for.
Yeah. Fuck Bush. That's exactly the theme for today. And it's nice to be able to say it. Yeah. On my show, I have to have
beat
a lot of restraint.
Beat around the bush.
Beat around the bush. Exactly. And, but, you know, the man is bad for this country. I think I consider myself a patriot. You know, I know that that's become a cliche
likewise.
Thing to say.
No, likewise.
But, you know, I truly believe in what this country was founded on. You know, separation of church and state being first and foremost.
Right.
And
freedom of speech.
Freedom of speech is a good one. I think it's also okay to have handguns if you like. I think you should be mentally balanced if you have them. There should be some way that we as a society can tell if you're nuts or not.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't think you just give them to anybody. Because, frankly, a lot of people shouldn't have
honestly,
guns.
Honestly, you know,
yes.
I actually believe in the right to have a gun, but at the same time, this man was someone who didn't seem like he should.
Yeah. It seems like
it was
you know,
a funny thing, you know, the folks who want them are the people who shouldn't have them.
Yeah. It is a funny thing. And what we'd like to have right now is somebody out there who's armed. Call us if at all possible.
Okay.
You know, let's hear from somebody who.
I bet we've got a 200. Oh, sorry, 201-209-9368 is the phone line. Let's hear from somebody armed. 201-209-9368.
I can understand and relate to the need or that some people feel to keep guns in the home. You know, to be.
But that's just the point that this guy was making. Like, it wasn't even that. This guy was. He immediately said, like, oh, the issue of so and so. This guy was 50 years old, and he had been working in a restaurant, and he came out, and he got mugged, and he got shot. And if that man had a gun, he would have been able to defend himself. Now, I have very mixed feelings about that. I mean, I've always assumed that as soon as I had a gun, someone would take it from me and shoot me with
it. Beat you about the head with it before shooting you. Exactly.
Exactly. I've always thought that I was putting myself at greater risk personally by owning a gun.
Yeah.
That's a perfect example, actually, of my opinion, which is that I'm not against them. Mm-hmm. I just don't want any part of them personally.
Yeah.
I think everyone is less safe when you have a gun and like in the home. And,
I think.
But I'm such a libertarian when it comes to drugs.
That, yes.
Which in fact it's
so
a
you
lot
think guns and drugs should be in the home.
Well, I mean, I think drugs should be in the home and guns shouldn't be in the home. But in fact, like, it's hard to make, I mean, it's a lot harder to kill someone else with drugs than it is with a gun. So it's certainly.
I know. Someone breaks into your home, you're not going to beat them to death with a bong.
You're not going to. That's a nice picture, isn't it? Nice mental picture.
It was a big enough bong. I suppose you could knock them out and then start kicking them in the groin or something.
Like a nice glass one with a ceramic base.
Sure.
You could probably
something made out of clay that you picked up in Tijuana, that kind of thing.
You could do some damage with that. I was kind of thinking, like, if someone breaks into your house, you're not going to run over and shoot them up, like, with an OD.
No, there would not be an opportunity to do that. But when's the last time someone broke into your house, anyway? Really?
Oh, that's not an issue for me, honestly.
I've never had anyone break into my house. I'm going to be, 42 in September, for God's sakes.
Right.
So I'm not that worried about it.
I mean, I have some friends who are actually friends of my father, like, and they live up in Massachusetts, and they're people I have tremendous amount of respect for, and they lived most of their lives as liberals and Democrats, and they've like turned into talk radio conservatives. I mean, since they moved up to Athol, Mass. Like, in fact, Royal.
Did you say asshole Mass?
I said Athol.
Oh, it sounded like you said asshole Mass.
I think it's a long.
Do you call it asshole?
I think everybody does. Honestly, yeah. My friends who live in Royalston, in fact.
Hey, you from asshole?
They certainly.
And you instantly know what they're saying.
Always called it asshole.
So they're listening to. Like Sean Hannity and
I know that,
Rush Limbaugh.
Well, you know, it's funny because they were like straight. They actually are listening to those guys because they were like straight up. They were like straight up NPR. Maybe that's what made them turn. but in any case, they're people with whom I really truly identify in so many ways, and it's really weird to like. Have this thing where, like, oh my God, they turn into people that I really want to argue with.
Yeah.
And the one time I really, I was like, blah, 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 like they were talking about guns, and like as soon as I criticized that, they immediately said, well, you believe in legalization of drugs.
Right.
Like as if there were an equation there. So like I think that they I've been tainted ever since that conversation that I've thought like that's definitely not an equation because it doesn't work. But at the same time, I'm in favor of legalization of something that could be harmful,
right?
Because I think that people should be expected to be responsible, and people should be held to standards of conduct rather than.
You really
the actual
are a Pollyanna. You know that earlier possession. With the stuff about telling the truth. Now you expect people to be responsible. What reality are you living in? My God!
I told the Fry Mumia guy that I believe that we should try to stay positive and believe in a world like we should play to people's best qualities rather than their worst. I mean, that was his thing. Was like people are really bad, so you have to have a gun to protect yourself.
Right.
And I was like, people are not bad unless you treat them that way and assume that they are.
I think I'd like to think that people are mostly good, but there are, I mean, all those phrases that start with there's two kinds of people in the world, that's my least favorite beginning to any sentence when people say there's two kinds of people in the world.
That's a pretty intense, that's like hate speech for sure.
Yeah, but what it comes down to is that there are people who feel that humanity, human beings, mankind or whatever, is inherently evil and it needs to be reined in. Its nature needs to be reined in through civilization, through laws and so on. And there are other people that believe that people are inherently good and under the similar circumstances they will do the right thing, I'm on the fence about that argument. I think people go one way or the other depending on how much of their own neck is involved. Is really what I think, and I think it's only.
So you say there's two kinds of people: ones who go one way, ones who go.
I'm saying, if possible, I am a third kind of person.
I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
Well,
that was too big an opening.
I think that there is a third kind of person, and I think under any circumstances, people will go one way or the other. People can be.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm making fun, but
I'm
totally
trying to make a point
totally
about the last 4 years, which is the amount of lies that we've heard out of this administration. The amount of lying, the amount of prevaricating, the amount of, the Machiavellian thing that goes on where it's by any means necessary they will grab and hold on to power to serve their needs. And what are their needs? Apparently to supply, to come up with a real supply of oil in the Mideast, that it's a secured supply, to probably wean ourselves from Saudi Arabia because that whole thing's... doesn't look too good.
Right.
And to ensure that the class that keeps them in power and the class that buys them the ad time that they need and pays for the ad time they need to win elections can become even more powerful. It is like a death grip on the American soul. And if they win another 4 years, that to me is what it is. It's going to be another 4 years of, you know, that Orwellian image of a boot forever grinding in your face. Because if you think life's going to get any better over the next 4 years after what we've seen in the past 4 years, you're either incredibly naive or just really stupid. And either way, you should stay home on Election Day, if that's the case.
Absolutely.
Don't even go out to the poll. That was, is all I'm
that
saying.
That was unbelievably lucid, Chris. That was really amazing.
I have brief moments of lucidity. you
that's
know.
Awesome. Yeah. That lasted a long time. That's like
now
at least
it'll
a
go
full
away.
Minute.
Now it's gone.
Okay, well, now whenever they come and go. Do you want to do some, I don't know, work some magic on there?
It's entirely up to you. It's
I'm feeling
it's
good.
A free-form
I'm feeling like queuing up a record, and I'm feeling like going and getting a beer, and I kind of feel like going to the bathroom, too, so I don't know.
Well, it's always nice to have a waz when you need to have a waz.
Do you want to take charge for a little while?
Sure.
Is that okay?
Sure, that's fine. Yeah, okay. I could help you there. And it might be a nice time. I have a couple of songs that think are real, you know, good post 9/11 kind of material. A lot of bad music came out post 9/11. Right. 9/11 for whatever other tragedy
you're
it might
not
have been.
You're not going to play Let's Roll, are you? I can't hear that again.
No,
Let's
I don't
play
even
something else.
I don't even know. Is that the Neil Young song you just referred to? Because I've actually never heard it. Is it that bad?
Oh, it's like
is
the
it
worst.
Just
the worst.
Old, awful.
It's pretty much the worst Pink Floyd song that you could ever imagine. From
what is
like
Neil Young
late,
doing
late,
Pink
late,
Floyd for?
Late era Pink Floyd.
That's there's something so wrong about what you just said.
Tell me about it.
So,
let's stick to Greendale.
Well, is Greendale any good?
Greendale's cool, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So he has missteps. Neil, we allow him his missteps,
oh,
right?
Oh, absolutely. I didn't mean that. Like, I just meant to criticize only the song. I think Neil is a god, man, and he should do whatever he wants because almost everything comes out great. But every now and then, there's a boner for sure.
You want to play John Ashcroft, Kiss My Ass, which Terry P. gave to me last night?
Sure.
I don't even know the name of the band. I burned it as an MP3, and it is. We do have it here, but Terry handed it to me, and just the title alone, John Ashcroft, and then in parentheses, Kiss My New York Ass, was intriguing enough to see what it's all about. So we have it here if you'd like to.
Okay, I mean, or is it on? It's on two? Okay, so that's
I believe so, yeah.
Okay,
so let's go back to the beginning.
Okay. Let's go back to the beginning again. I'm sorry about that. We're stopped, right?
Yes.
Okay. We're ready.
Hey, John Ashcroft!
I could keep that up all day.
Please do.
All right. Are we ready?
Hey, John Ashcroft!
holy shit, that thing's a big fat hit right on WFMU.org/RNC.html. And Chris T with Jason. Jason is away somewhere, but he did want to hear the Party Posse. So this is going out just to the Cosmic Cowboy. And we've got a phone call coming in. We're going to get right on top of that.
Oh, say, can you rock? There's trouble in a far-off nation. Time to get in love formation. Your love's more deadly than Saddam. That's why I gotta drop the bomb.
Posse, posse!
Late-breaking news here at WFMU. Just handed this CD by our station manager, Ken Friedman, with the intriguing title, Attention Republicans, Go Fuck Yourselves. We've got somebody on the phone, too. Hello?
Hey.
You're on the web.
Hey, it's Program Director Brian.
Hello, Brian. How are you?
Hey, pretty good.
Where are you physically located, geographically located?
Carrie and I just got done with coming over down Fifth Avenue, and we're home. We live in Midtown, so
okay.
It's pretty great day. It's pretty nice showing. Although, do you know how many people were there? We haven't heard any numbers yet.
We haven't heard any numbers yet either.
No, we don't do that. We don't do numbers here at WFMU.
Come on, you don't have a tote board like Fox or anything?
No, nor do we even have. I actually intended to have BAI playing on a radio here, but I didn't even get that together.
One of the great moments was, I guess, when we got near Madison Square Garden, you could see about 20 blocks away. You couldn't actually see the garden, but you could see a like seven-story Fox sign.
Wow.
As you approach down 7th Avenue, so you knew you were getting near the garden. So finally when we got to the garden, everyone was chanting, like, fuck Fox, which was great. And when you got to the garden, there was a pretty big kind of Republican galley happening right in front of the Hotel Pennsylvania, where I guess they're welcoming everybody.
Now,
is that the name of it, the Hotel Pennsylvania, I guess?
Yeah, Hotel Pennsylvania, where I went to many comic, not comic book, they used to have those conventions
right,
there.
Oh, they did, of course, yeah, no, collector
music
conventions.
Music collectors,
right,
yeah. I used to go to those at the Hotel Pennsylvania. Brian, were they yelling fuck Fox loud enough so that anybody who was trying to report on Fox couldn't really, like, do what they call a stand-up from the scene?
Well, sadly, we only came across, like, patches of areas where there were actual cameras, like on 23rd Street, they had a little pen for maybe three TV cameras.
The media corral.
Yeah, it was more like a media, you know, bathroom stall or something. There was hardly any, like, huge. I mean, maybe on 34th there were a lot more trucks, but it was kind of hard to spot, you know, real camera action happening.
I just love the idea of not being able to use the audio that evening because all you could hear is fuck Fox.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, it was pretty nice, though. And your pals, the Missile Dick Chicks, were there.
Oh, good. Cool. I played some of their audio today.
Yeah. But things kind of broke apart after it got to the garden. And, you know, when it made a ride onto 34th, it was much more scattered out. So if people are still out there and this is still happening, they should, you know, get there and maybe make some more numbers or something.
We are waiting patiently for a report from Central Park, but Todd said he was riding his bike
Todd's
up there.
Todd's on his way, I guess.
Yeah.
And that was about half an hour ago.
We heard from Bill W. too.
Bill
long.
W. Who's in the
park. Oh, is he up in the park?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was up in the park.
On a landline.
Yeah, they were passing out a lot of flyers telling everybody to go to the park. And
Who's they?
Just people in the parade.
Okay,
so,
good.
You know, but I only saw a couple people get busted on 34th Street. It looked like it was generally peaceful. Lots of great signs, though.
I love the signs.
The best sign I saw was "Have another pretzel."
So did you carry your Bush Eats Ass?
No, because reading it over, it seemed like if there was anything obscene, we would get pulled out. So our sign said, the president looks like a monkey.
Nice. I don't know. I mean,
I have another press.
No, someone has to point it out.
Right.
Really.
Right.
A few people actually didn't understand. They asked us, "What do you mean?"
And
Do you have eyes? Kind of surprised. But and one person was actually offended that we were, you know, for the monkeys.
That's right. Okay. That's how could you be so mean to the monkeys? Yeah.
Yeah, I could kind of understand that. It is a sad thing to do to monkeys.
Yeah, definitely. But, yeah, the blimp hovered over everything. It was very ominous, but yet kind of laughable.
And yet quiet. Like, you don't even hear it's there. It's not like a helicopter. See, that's what they figured out.
Yeah.
I thought of that LCD issue FMU put out years ago where they listed things that are funny and not so funny, and one of the funniest things was blimps.
Right.
So, you know, they are pretty funny, I think.
Yeah, and you never think of them as spying on you, necessarily.
Right.
But that's what it was doing today.
Yeah.
Waiting for a chance to haul out the acoustic horn and blast you with 120 decibels of God knows what.
Sound.
We still don't know what they're going to punch you.
Oh, I didn't see that thing. I wanted to see the, I wanted to see the sonic blaster, which was supposedly by this garden.
You know what would be really funny, Brian, is if you walked up to some of the cops and you said, "Do you know where the sonic blaster is?" And they said, "What do you mean?" And you said, "You know, that thing that you guys got from the military.
Yeah.
That goes up to 120 decibels you use for crowd control?"
I promise none
effective
of them would
over 300 yards?
I promise that none of the people who I dealt with the other night and anywhere in the processing read a paper that even mentioned that thing.
The acoustical horn.
And that none of them read. They were like, even my arresting officer was semi-literate, so...
Well, there was a big, giant dragon float, and all of a sudden they started blasting the Clash really loud when we got to the garden, so I was afraid that the sonic blaster would come on in.
No, right?
Like, drown the Clash out.
We still don't know what noise it's going to make. If anybody out there knows, you know, what if it just plays a Kenny Rogers song or something really loud?
Yeah.
120 decibels of Lady or something like that.
Yeah, only like 160, I think.
That'll disperse any crowd.
Yeah. Wow. Just like a jet taking off, like 160. That's great.
You know, Brian, tell them you're a music director and a program director for a very influential radio station, and we'd like to program what comes out of the acoustical horn.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Okay.
We could do, like, a benefit.
If
and
Fuji,
everything, like,
if
we
Fuji
could do, like,
can
a
lend
benefit.
Them a blimp, we could program the acoustical horn.
That would be great.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Put together
I'll backtrack and offer that suggestion.
120 dB. Start thinking about what sounds good at 120 decibels.
Yeah. So, anyway, I just wanted to call and say hello and... Jason, glad you're safe.
Oh, thanks very much, and nice of you to call.
Yeah,
much
I'll hear more about it tomorrow.
Much appreciated all around. Yeah, I told a long and staggering story early in the show that came out all right, but probably shouldn't be repeated. So.
I was staggering awake, and I went to my computer, and I found my way to the stream, and I got to hear most of what happened. But like I said earlier, I don't think this is over until you get your bike back. It's still sort of an unwritten.
I think it's not over until I participate in a class action suit against the New York Police Department, and I fucking get $1 million out of the Bloomberg administration. Maybe that'll convince them.
You have better luck getting your bike back.
Maybe that'll convince them not to arrest people a block at a time.
Well, you know, it remains to be seen just how legal that is, because you know, it's like
not
Cole
legal.
Porter song, anything goes.
Chris, you know, I think they would not have offered to release me with a you know, on time served if I were to plead guilty, which is pretty much like, here, just plead guilty. It'll be really great if you plead guilty. Everything will be terrific. I don't think they would have done that if they thought they hadn't done something wrong. I think they know they did something wrong and they wanted to get as many people to plead guilty as possible.
I think that's it, and it's also that they want to move you in and out as quickly as possible.
Oh,
you
no, they don't.
Guilty,
oh, no, well,
they
oh that's true. They don't want to move your body. That part of this was keeping bodies off the street, and
okay.
That's why they
right.
have this
right.
enormous pen in, on the pier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, that's
wow,
why
were
they...
Were you where they kept the towed cars?
It's just south of the Chelsea Piers.
Right.
What I think, like, there was like a Parks Department employee in the booth outside, and we went in there, and like it's a giant. It's like 100 yards across and 150 yards long, and it's like they built giant chain link fence pens with razor wire at the top of the walls throughout this whole thing, and it's enough to hold like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we were 300 people, and it was like a drop. in the bucket in this place. Like,
yeah.
Most of the pens were made for like 50 to 100 people, but there was one that was like football size, field sized.
Yeah.
So like, so I think part of it is
initially
just like,
they were gonna
I think
do it,
the idea is kind of like to like try and scoop troublemakers
right.
like away. And by troublemakers, I mean people who are merely expressing themselves.
Yes. Well, of course, those would be troublemakers. But
well,
you know,
apparently, like parents with their kids were fleeing this net too, right? From what I hear.
Oh yeah, I guess.
We're in East Village when we saw the helicopter like swooping down, and we figured it had something to do with the bikes because people were blazing out of there. So
it's got a very Planet of the Apes thing about
that
it.
Was,
too.
That was a great thing that
the
happened.
The nets.
I forgot earlier. After, I mean, we sat on 35th Street, like being arrested slowly for like 3 hours, but like we'd been there for about a half an hour, and all of a sudden, someone's like on one of the adjacent rooftops screaming, "Shame on you! Let them go!" Which is like,
"Fuck Fox! Fuck Fox! Fuck you!"
Which is what people had been screaming each time that there was police trouble along the way. Like, they had grabbed a couple people at 34th Street, and everybody was shouting, "Shame on you! Let them go!" So in any case, it was hysterical because it was like,
and the cops look up and they start thinking about hauling out the acoustical horn.
Oh, they were totally like, "So do we have aerial on that?" Like, they were like,
"Are you getting pictures and audio of this?"
And all of a sudden there were like all these helicopters, and it was like for one person. One person made
you were like Snake Plissken in Escape from New York. He just jumped in the water and started swimming.
I wonder if they used that movie for reference at all, the New York Police Department. What? You think they watched that and maybe Deer Hunter?
Because
initially I heard they were just going to have the whole holding pen out over the river, and it would have an open bottom on it. And you could just sort of like be out over the open river with things nipping at your toes.
That would actually have been okay because the floor, it turned out, was an unmodified garage floor that was basically solid grease and motor oil and antifreeze, like nothing done to it. So like,
so was this an area where previously they had municipal vehicles and they moved them out?
That's my impression.
Yeah, it was
it's
vehicle.
It's weird because there was a Parks Department person in the booth at the door, and even as we were driving in, the pigs on the bus were like, "What kind of person is that?" They were like looking at this Parks. I mean, that's how fucking dumb they were. They were looking at this Parks Department person who's got like a big leafy badge on their shoulder saying like, "Who is that? What are they?"
It's Al Qaeda. It's Al Qaeda. Did they have an Al-Qaeda badge? That'd be funny if they had an Al-Qaeda embroidered patch.
That would be nice.
Yeah. It's the Parks Department, asshole. That's who that is.
All right, gentlemen. I've got to fly.
Thank you, Brian,
for calling.
Yep. Have a good one. Bye.
It's interesting, though, because I'm wondering where they put all of the Parks Department vehicles in order to be able to shuffle you
into
this
building.
That's
the thing is, I don't know for sure that it was a Parks Department. That was my assumption because I saw this person. But it definitely was some sort of municipal vehicles, and it really was. It was the grossest kind of garage floor. Like this floor had never had those little oil absorbent sandy pebbles put onto it ever in like the last 50 years.
Now, you weren't barefoot or anything, though. I mean, right?
Well, I was actually wearing my flip-flops, and the floor was so dirty that I chose to sit on my flip-flops and lean against the fence. I mean, I was talking earlier about how the crowd kind of divided into people who were willing to go at the floor and people who weren't, and how those people kind of, there were some people who wouldn't go near the floor at first, and over the course of the whole night, they kind of slowly decided.
Ended up on the greasy floor.
Then there were some people. There were people who reveled in it. There were a few people who were just like, you know, good, dirty anarchists who were like, "I'm gonna sleep on the greasy floor." And as much as I admire those people,
I
couldn't make myself one of them. I had to find. Some
I gotta
kind
go
of,
with you on that, and I'll tell you why. It's really because it seems to me like the greasy floor is part of the overall humiliation of the thing. They want to humiliate you.
And they want to make a... I mean, if we walk out the door covered in dirt and there's
you'll be marked, yeah.
Right, so like, you know,
we find you more easily when they have to rearrest you.
And we get to go to court, you know, covered in grease. Terrific.
Like some kind of slob.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like a schmuck, like a schnook.
These same people who were like spirited and colorful and expressing themselves. I mean, 8 hours in a tank with a gross, dirty floor.
Did it stink too in there?
It did not. But you know, as I said, the porta potties were brand new.
Wow. Yeah.
And so in fact,
untouched by human protesters.
It was though. It was a. It was a well-ventilated building because it's a garage. It had massive fans in the walls, exhaust fans, but it had no air conditioning. And, I mean, it had a lot of porta-potties. And, I mean, if they really managed to arrest 1,000 people one day this week, and it's warm, oh, boy, I don't want to be there. I mean, that was one of the first things I thought in that place was, wow, I'm glad it's nighttime and we're the first day.
It's relatively cool, and it's early on in the process because come Tuesday or Wednesday, it's going to get mighty ripe.
I mean, I don't think there was a drop of shit or piss in there when we walked in. We were like the first ones.
That is amazing. How often in life do you get to walk into a Portisan or a Johnny on the Spot or whatever it is, those polyethylene buildings, and be the first shit, take the first piss in there?
Pretty awesome.
That is pretty amazing. 201-209 WFMU. We are trying to reach out to people who are on the scene.
Yeah,
who
pass
down
that number
in the park
out.
And but please pass the number around to anybody who may be headed out to the park or, you know, otherwise will be on the scene. We'd love to hear from
maybe
them.
Maybe you're listening at home now and you're thinking, oh, I've got to get out there. You live on Central Park West and you wanna show some solidarity. Head out. You know,
I'd love to hear from a member of the Parks Department as well. I mean,
that'd be
gotta
cool.
be
that'd
someone
be cool.
in the Parks Department who listens to WFMU and knows about this whole thing.
I mean, I'd love to hear from a pig, but I know the only possible one is Officer
Jason,
Tom.
Jason, you keep calling them pigs. They're not going to call you. Why would they do that?
Hey, Officer Tom did when I was on with
you called him a pig?
Well, I made that same solicitation on Professor Dum-Dum's show last year, last marathon. I said, yeah, let's hear from some pigs. And
he responded.
And he did. Well, 5 minutes later. So it could have just been coincidence because I know he's a Dum-Dum
fan.
No,
it was, well, I think it's also that he spent 5 minutes deliberating whether he should call you or not because you called him a pig.
I don't think he cares. I think that's why he loves me.
Okay. Well, you know, it is. It's really difficult because you have to think that a lot of these cops I have empathy for. Not sympathy, but empathy because they are trying to do a job, a lot of these guys. They signed on to this, and this isn't what they signed on for. They didn't sign on to escort you and a bunch of people to the holding pen on the west side, necessarily. This is a job that they have to do, and I don't think they're necessarily thrilled with it.
I appreciate that,
yeah.
And there are times, occasional times, when I waver in that direction myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I actually begin to think, oh, these are just people. But the bottom line is, man, they are not people. They are tools of an administration that is looking to stifle dissent and oppress the population.
Yeah.
And do all those other terror. And they're doing those things so that they can do all those worse things that you were talking about, like take away health care and take away benefits from people and impoverish anyone but the richest Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using the tools as the police as a tool.
Fucking pigs! What was I thinking?
Yeah, yeah, like I actually had that conversation right outside the trailer, like waiting for our shit last night. I was like, I want my shit right now,
or I'm turning this trailer over immediately.
And all the other people were like, I don't want to turn over the trailer. They're just people. I was like, yeah, they're people, but like, and I was like, would you be a meter maid? You know, would you be someone who just like, there's, I mean, I like to think that there are other jobs. Honestly, personally, I would live on the street in a cardboard box before I would be a meter maid or a pig. But there you go. I also pled not guilty,
but you also,
and allowed my bike to remain
right
for 2 months in storage.
But I'm saying that on a daily basis, I meet cops in New York City who I think are just as human as you or I, and you know, and they're in a job that, you know, through a number of different circumstances, that job may be the only thing they can do, or one of the few things they can do.
Dumb. They could always join the army.
You know, the army.
I'd feel less bad for them, but not much. They're close.
The army joining the
soldiers and pigs are neck and neck, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yeah, soldiers. You know, they're all taking their marching orders. They are taking their orders, and it sounds to me like your objection is really to people who follow orders blindly. Not so much to the cops or,
well,
it's people in the military.
It's funny because when I had that argument by the trailer last night, the next, like 2 minutes later, this woman who was like the supervisor of that vicinity, like all the pigs in the area, came over and was extremely apologetic and explained how sorry she was that we couldn't get our shit. And I was like, I looked at this one guy and I was like, of course, right after my diatribe, like the nicest pig in the whole world comes over to apologize.
Pig! But, start making pig noises at her
but
while
know,
she's trying to be all nice. Would you like a cup of tea, gentlemen? Did she offer you anything to drink?
She didn't do that.
Well,
and the reality was, you know, like, I mean, I don't know, right as I was getting my shit, as I said, I mean, I was, again, I'm repeating, but it's been so long. It's been almost 5 hours at this point, so
right.
I think I can repeat. There's hardly anyone can be tuned that whole time. With any luck, there's no one who listened to the first hour and this, but those people are screwed, I suppose. But there was the last...
The story bears retelling.
This cop who was right, like, he wasn't actually involved in giving me my shit back, but he was kind of watching the line, like,
right.
where we got inserted into the snaky metal barricade thing that we were supposed to stand in to get our shit.
Like you're at Wendy's
the
last, when you get to the counter.
The last cop says, so, was it worth it?
And he said, fuck you, pig!
No, I actually had a really long, eloquent, and vitriolic answer for him.
Yeah.
And I gave it to
and
him.
And he just smacked you in the chops.
No, he said, I don't know what to say to that.
Yeah.
So he actually was listening to me, obviously. It was,
that is such a great answer, too. I love that answer. It's very...
No, honestly, I thought that was great. I was really glad. It implied
well,
to me...
Well, was it worth it? What did you say to him when he said, was it worth it?
I said, I don't think there's an equation there, because what I did wasn't a crime, and I was just held for 24 hours for riding my bicycle down the street. So was it worth being incarcerated for 24 hours for riding my bicycle? No.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's I don't think there's an equation there. And in a bigger sense, was it worth it to say, you can threaten to arrest me and I'm still going to express myself? Yes, it totally was worth it, and I would do it again tomorrow. And I think it's really important that everyone out there know that if they attend protests this week and they get arrested, that they'll go through a really tedious 24 hours and they may be asked to, I mean, in fact, the floor is getting cleaner all the time. With each person that goes to sleep on that floor on the pier, it's cleaner. I mean,
I don't know about that.
I think by Wednesday, man, you'll be able to, it's going to be
It'll
like.
It'll have all that toe jam on it by Wednesday. Are
oh,
you
man.
Me?
No. There's
by
no
Wednesday,
amount of toe jam that could equal this.
Really?
I mean, absolutely. Like,
it's
going
to be toe jam and grease.
I mean, we got to the tombs. And so we're
you
in.
You went to the tombs?
Yeah, that's what it means.
Wow.
After central booking, then the tombs.
They didn't take away your belt or your shoelaces or anything, did they?
That's funny. I had flip-flops.
Okay.
But in fact, some people had their shoelaces taken off at the scene of the crime before we even... And they, so they were like... And it was just an attempt to make them shuffle and look lame. I mean...
It's also a mental thing. It's
totally,
more humiliation.
Yes, it's a humiliation,
it's like
absolutely.
Implying that you would commit suicide after being picked off the street for riding
gonna say,
your bike.
I was going to say, as if any, like,
you know,
exuberant bicyclist who's, like, riding through the
That's
city...
That's it! I'm going to kill myself! I'm hanging myself! From that fence. But you know, the thing is, you wouldn't be able to get enough traction on the greasy floor to really launch yourself off the ground.
We had many laughs sitting and standing at 35th Street as they were taking. But and then over the course of the processing, like in fact, some people got all the way through with their shoelaces, and some people had them taken off at different times during the process. The whole thing.
And there was no rhyme or reason to when you lose your goddamn shoelaces.
No, there was no rhyme or reason to anything except the fact that we had been scooped up, and we were scooped. Up to test this system that's intended to arrest people by the hundreds
right.
over this week.
Right.
And that was the
only... They were
only,
priming the pump, as we
they
said.
Were priming the pump, and yeah. as you say, they were also getting the word out there in the media that people were going to be arrested.
They will not
so,
be fucked with. They are
so
not
like
to be trifled
anybody
with.
Who's on the fence. I mean, there were people at
if
this...
If you ride a bike in Manhattan, you're fair game.
There were people on this bike ride who were there for the first time, and they just had heard it was a cool thing, and I mean, I admit, I'm like, I've only been on it, you know, whatever, sometimes.
But critical mass, I think it's worth pointing out, you may have done this already, I may have missed it, operates in a number of cities in the United States.
Absolutely.
They do bike rides in Baltimore. I was in Baltimore when they did a critical mass thing.
L.A.
Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
So it's not just a New York-based outfit either. This is
But it's really, it's almost, it's really decentralized, which is really nice, both
right.
locally and nationally.
It's
I mean,
just,
it really, there's not like a president of critical mass.
No.
There's just like a lot of people who do it. And in fact, critical mass has gotten a space on East Houston Street, I believe 47. But there you go. Times-up.org has a lot of biker information about basically about the RNC stuff, but it also has links to other critical mass and stuff like that.
You talked earlier about a suit, and is that based on anything that you know is going to happen, or are you hoping that would happen? Would critical mass bring the suit? Or?
That's a good question. Too soon to say. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm not.
Well, if it's too soon to say, then this is the place where we should say it. If it's too soon, no, I'm just
okay.
I'm kidding.
All you people who got arrested at the critical mass ride, you know, email cowboy@wfmu.org, and we'll put together a class action lawsuit against the city because those arrests were patently unjust and you know, whatever. They were patently just wrong. Everything about it was wrong, like everything, from the paperwork to the switching arresting officers to every sort of thing was wrong, and to, like, blocking off a block of people, like a city block of people, and arresting every single one. I mean, they were like scooping up people. There were people trying to get into their apartments, and like they'd be like escorted by, like, with a cop, like, what are you doing? They like, and then there would be some.
They'd round you up with the net. It's like Planet of the Apes. It really is, man. That's the best part.
There was some scene, you know, they would, like, take this person who didn't have a bike and everybody else had been shackled already. So, like, there weren't any, like, bicycle riders, like, roaming around.
Who might break free and jump on a bike and head off and warn the others.
Exactly. Well put. Unshackled. Yeah. But then, like, someone would wander onto the street who had a car there. I mean, it was after, like, you know, it's kind of theater district, and, like, you know, the plays got out, and, like, people were coming back to get their cars. And some of those people were, like, you know, like, so obviously, like, little, you know, suburban old ladies who'd been to the theater.
Right.
Those people were just, like, held up their keys, and they were, like, escorted right to their cars. But, like, if they were, like, young Latin guys, you know, who looked like they could potentially have participated, they were like, they got escorted to, like, a senior officer so that the senior officer could go, what the fuck are you doing? Obviously this person's not a biker, let them go to their house, you know. But it, like, but the, you know, it took a senior officer to make that decision.
It could have been a biker with a mini collapsible bike that he put in the trunk of his car. Like,
or
he drove his car.
How about if he just stuck it up
critical
his ass?
Mass. Yeah,
that'd be great. Like a bike.
He drove his car to the middle to the critical mass bike-a-thon or bike
right.
event.
He got it as,
and then he unfolded his bike from his trunk and rode it. And then, in an attempt to escape detection,
he stuck it up his ass
he
and
stuck
got
it up
out his car keys
and got out his car keys. Exactly.
That's all possible.
You have to verify that with a superior. By the way, I've been working with Dan Ingram to come up with a traffic alert for people who are on bikes. And
traffic condition, green. Green.
It was nice that he was able to do these.
Traffic condition, yellow. Yellow. Yellow.
And if it's really bad in a particular area, you know what it would be, right?
Traffic condition, red, 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 red.
So we're going to use those throughout the next 4 days.
You might want to check out Code Pink online. Code Pink is doing a lot of protest-oriented stuff.
Are the women that dress up in pink and do different things?
Yeah. But that's just the heart of what's pretty big. I mean, there's a lot of pink at the Critical Mass ride, and I think it's in solidarity with the Code Pink ladies, of all genders, and whatever. And, I mean, Code Pink, their last email included a really great anti-Bush, you know, just kind of like, just captured the thing really nicely. But it's not like, you know, it's not nothing you've never heard before, you know. It's not too different from what you were saying before, but it was extremely...
I have a hard time with the whole thing, because when you say captured it nicely, I keep thinking about all these great things that have come out, books that have been written and columns that you can read every day and different critical insight into just what he's doing to this country and how he's... You know, shifting the burden essentially to the lower and middle classes, and letting the people who keep him in office hold on to even more and more and more. You know, grab even more of the resources for themselves, while the rest of us get poorer, and, you know, go into an area where we have no health coverage. And I love some of the people who get on TV who want to explain it all,
right?
And who are mouthpieces for the administration, to say things like, these are people who are voluntarily going without health coverage.
Right.
These are people who have chosen not to insure themselves because they're healthy. And I think, what a load of bullshit that is.
As if anyone
fucking lie.
In this country, where we've got healthcare for profit and it costs exorbitant amounts of money.
It's the most expensive in the world.
It's the most expensive in the world. Oh, it's the best in the world.
It's
the best
in the world.
I'd be willing to settle for less and get some, personally.
I don't hear those friends of mine in Canada complaining.
Right.
I don't hear them complaining about the fucking healthcare up there.
Right.
They managed to do it.
Right.
How is it Canadians can do it?
We're the richest country in the world. We can afford to invade the Middle East.
And when you think about how much that thing is costing us every day, that misadventure is costing us every day. And that this is the only president who's done like a tax cut in and a war at the same time. I mean, it's there is so much about this guy that we know. He cannot run on his record because we know he's full of shit. We know he's lied about every fucking thing. We know that he cannot open his mouth without some pre-programmed untruth coming out, something that was written for him by his handlers, his puppet masters, and yet there are still people who think, oh, you know, I think he's a good guy. He's strong. He's out there leading America. He knows what's right for this country. He won't fold up to the UN. He's no pussy. George Bush is no pussy. You know, and what do you do with these people?
I was just going to say, and yet so many people believe it, and it's really, I mean, it's partly a matter of... Earlier in what you were saying, I was thinking, yeah, and what I was actually thinking was, isn't it great how well the Bush administration is able to manipulate the media? Because folks who are writing, I mean, it's just like the stuff like what I read on the Code Pink email is just not getting out there enough, and I mean. How many calls did you get on your show personally? Wait, no, let me finish.
From
people who said, I saw 9/11, and wow, I'm not going to vote for Bush. I can't believe that shit.
Yeah.
Like they never, like, even had an inkling of that shit before.
I don't find that surprising, because I think there are a lot of people who only get their news and information, unfortunately, through television and through movies and through I think the whole reason for 9/11 the film, Fahrenheit 9/11 the film, was really to provide information in an easy to swallow form. You know, these people were not necessarily going to come across this information in the print media.
Right.
Maybe they couldn't search it out for whatever reason, but it is great that they can get it in that form. And I think the people who accuse him of being a propagandist, so what? Who gives a fuck? I mean,
He definitely is, but it's a lot closer to the truth than what the righties are doing. So
just to say it's propaganda doesn't mean it's not true.
Absolutely,
it could be true propaganda.
Exactly,
and you have to assemble it in such a way that it is easy for people to look at it and go, oh, that's what's going on, and that's why this guy's a bum. I mean, there's so many reasons why George W. Bush is a bum that, you know, if we started talking about it now, we wouldn't be done by midnight.
Yeah.
You started going into what he did to Texas as governor.
That reminds me, I think I've got to give a shout-out to Stefan, who's on, he better be on Thursday overnights. Yeah. He is on Thursday overnights. And he's got the propaganda hour during his show every night
Complete schedule if you go to WFMU.org.
Oh, no. Actually, I'm talking about his regular overnight show on 91.1. Includes a propaganda hour at 4 o'clock in the morning, and he plays lefty propaganda. I mean, it's called the propaganda hour, and it's always lefty stuff. So, and so it's stuff that's true.
But he
calls it, you know, he names it.
Right. And I think that's, you know, that's the right thing to call it. But what I was saying earlier, which is that there are no amount of facts, there's no amount of truth, there's no amount of proof that you can bring to the people who feel that he's the right choice for this country that will, I think, sway them. There is a certain group of people, and it's the people who are coming to the city this week over the next 4 days who I can't even see having a conversation with them. You know what I mean? What are you going to talk about? What are you going to say to them?
We've got a caller.
We do have a caller. That's what we can say to them. Hello, welcome to the air. To the
web. Hi. I'm calling with a report from the Great Lawn.
Oh, right on.
I called early in the morning with a sort of morning update. Now I've got the afternoon update.
Bruno. Okay. I'm Bruno. How you doing?
No, Rudy.
Rudy. Sorry.
Rudy.
Oh,
Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani's calling us.
Except not. Giuliani, alas. Otherwise, I would have a speaking role. Can I just say that? So here was my whole take on the day's events. I thought I would go and sort of skip the march and just spend a pleasant day reading the Sunday Times on the grass, and then be the sort of welcoming committee for the hundreds of thousands of people I thought were going to be pouring onto the lawn.
Yes, and it didn't pan out that way?
Well, I'm looking at a crowd, like a sort of a loose crowd of maybe 3,000 people, all of them sort of exhausted and dehydrated, you know, playing soccer, throwing frisbees, and opposing the war or something.
Right.
And
what if your frisbee has an anti-war, slogan on it? You'd be doing
enough.
Two things at one time.
That, and I fully support that.
Okay.
And we're being, like, observed by, I guess, three NYPD.
The
yeah, the blimp.
Eye in the sky.
The Fuji NYPD blimp.
And, you know, it's really quiet. It's just up there going.
No, I mean, it's
and it's just like a whisper. You don't even. It's not like the helicopter. You just hear the gentle whirring of the engines.
And especially at night, when you just see it sort of ghostly floating over Manhattan. I mean, you feel
it
like you're
in. It is balloon!
There's these helicopters observing this crowd. I'm sitting here on the lawn, having read the entire New York Times, including, like, the Sunday Style section, the real estate section.
Oh, Jesus,
the automobile section.
Oh, fuck, you've been there a long time.
And here's what happens, that finally the protesters start showing up and chanting in my little neck of the lawn. And my immediate reaction is like, just go away so I can finish the paper. I was successfully bougified. one day on the lawn plus one reading of the Sunday Times. And like, I totally
and like, I got a nice Beaujolais, some Brie in the Times. Fuck up.
I gotta say, this grass really is nice. I mean,
not anymore. It's getting all fucked up now.
I understand the anxiety perfectly. So I really am having, now I'm having a little bit of post-absenteeism guilt for not having attended the march.
All right, well, wait. Let's find out what are we hearing in the background? Is that a helicopter, by the way?
It's a helicopter and about a gusty breeze blowing off the south end of the park.
Wow, once again, your commentary is much appreciated. And
Rudy.
Rudy. How
forgive
are you going?
Me.
You know,
forgive me.
I'm not going to hear this whole thing until, you know...
Never.
You know,
maybe never.
And actually get online.
It's possible that parts of it will be archived. I think that's all I'm allowed to say in public.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Well,
we've got our man here at WFMU, and the man told me that there's no promises when it comes to archiving of this event.
Yeah.
Excellent. I'm sad to hear that. I'll have to hear war tales afterwards. I would like to.
You never know. It might be there. I meant to say that. It's kind of what I was trying to say.
For those listeners who actually are tuning in, actually, I have one. Can I give my little my call to arms for tomorrow?
Oh, please.
I have a call to arms. So, because everyone at work all week has been talking about, oh, which subway line you're going to take, which bus you're going to take, how are you going to avoid it, are you going to come in late, are you going to take the week off, are you going to work from home? I've really been hearing a lot of buzz about people, like, you know, essentially changing their routines to avoid the chaos.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And here's my spin. I feel like we have to all, this is my call to arms, we have to take our normal subway lines at the normal time.
Right.
Because if we change our lifestyles because the Republicans are in town, the Republicans will already have won.
It's like the terrorists win.
There you go.
I mean, the Republicans win.
Like
who's
any,
terrorizing us again? I forget all the time.
Like,
who's actually
like
terrorizing
any other
us?
Attack on, like any other coordinated violent attack.
It's like Al Qaeda's come to town.
Go about your normal routine.
Yeah. all right.
Nice comment.
I like that.
I like that too.
Thank you guys for doing what you do.
Do me a favor, would you? I want you to wander like 100 yards north to the other side of the sheep meadow or wherever the hell you are, the Great Lawn,
yeah.
And
yeah.
Call us back at
Chris
some point.
Chris just wants to play his sheep sound effects again. But,
yeah.
I
like the sheep. The sheep's always good.
I'm actually on the Great Lawn, not the sheep meadow.
No, that's... Well, you see, that's the thing. Chris doesn't care. Like he was playing the sheep sound effects when someone was on the Great Lawn before. That's why he's talking about the.
I have some sound effects of the police as well.
Can I say though? I mean, this is a nice lawn. Great. It's really great. I mean, I've seen better lawns in Brooklyn.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Hey, who let the dogs out?
Thanks for calling, friend.
We're gonna run. Thanks.
All right,
guys.
Take care, Rudy.
Call back. Hey.
We got another caller.
Yeah, we've got another caller. You're on the webcast at WFMU.
Hey, this is Todd. I'm up at Central Park.
Okay, how you doing?
Has anyone called from up here?
We actually just heard from someone up there.
From like, Rudy, Bill W. called earlier.
We've heard a couple times since we last spoke. But where are
you in the park?
Yeah.
I'm on the Great Lawn. You can tell everyone you can find the Great Lawn because There's a helicopter hovering right overhead. Oh, hey, here's Christina from FMU. Would you like to speak to her?
Yeah, please.
Would you speak on the air with Jason and Christy?
Sure.
Okay, here she is.
Is that Christina who's got the picture with Jim McGreevy downstairs?
I think that's a pretty good chance, yeah.
Someone's written on and defaced the picture of you with Jim McGreevy. Have you seen it lately?
What did they write on
it? You didn't know?
They modified it. It says
great. It
someone
says,
put the word gay in.
Yeah, welcome from the gay state of New Jersey.
Oh, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's really, really funny.
Isn't
really
there
good.
A word balloon coming out of McGreevy's mouth where it says, are there any hot guys around here or something like that? It's got that on it, too.
That's since the last time I knew.
It is a great picture of Christina with McGreevy uncomfortably. He's got his arm like, and he's thinking a girl.
I love my dead day, Governor.
Yeah. So where are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm in Central Park.
Okay.
It's about a quarter filled with people with signs and all sorts of stuff.
Cool. So is there's not any police kind of presence besides the helicopters?
The helicopter was hovering for about a good 10 minutes, but they're cops, but they're hanging out.
That sounds great. That's nice
it's
to hear.
It's really low-key. Somebody's doing a handstand 2 feet away from me.
That's great. That's great. I mean, it sounds like the march came off, you know, like welcoming to old folks, kids, and anybody who might have been afraid to come.
It was really relaxed compared to the march back in February where nobody knew where they were going and there were people in horses chasing people down. It was a lot more relaxed.
Right. Oh, cool.
They learned from that march in February because there were a lot of unhappy people at that. A lot of lawsuits.
I think so. Honestly,
in the wake of that march,
I think if there was a day for the man to like hold off and let things happen, it was today because today is the day when most of the mainstream protesters are happening. And like, you know, by Tuesday, it's going to be just freaks, man, and they need to be arrested.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot. Well, you know, unfortunately, and we've talked about this before, the freaks are the ones who are going to end up on the evening news, you know.
Right, but the freaks are also the ones who are standing up for those stupid punks who were on Pat's show last week. You know, they were talking about, like, I went on at length, but they were basically saying, the system's okay, but I don't want to be drafted. And they sang a song that was critical of dirty so-called anarchists. And I sort of let them have it. I was like, you know.
What'd you say? What'd you do?
I said, those dirty anarchists are keeping you off the front line, dude.
And did they act chagrined after you gave them what for?
They just kind of looked. I mean, I gave
sorry,
their parents
man.
What
we'll
for.
Never sing that song again.
I was on a roll. I gave their parents what for, too.
Well, I'm going to go, guys.
That's Christina, it. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in. Call us back.
See you later.
Is Todd still on the phone?
Yeah, I'm on the phone now. While you're talking to Christina, I was like busy like shredding as much grass and throwing it into my backpack. I want to see you like
motherfucker, put the grass back. They don't want the grass all fucked up by people like you.
Hey,
what are you doing?
I just want to be like fulfill the prophecies, you know. It's actually like a lush carpet of grass. I mean, it's like all rains this summer. It's like I think you'd have to have like, you know, a bullfighter, a rodeo, or something on the grass, or like really stir, you know, make some major damage.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. No bullfights.
No.
Wow.
Well, just leave the grass
I'll
alone.
Run for bullfight music.
So have you been getting many people calling in the last hour or so?
It's been pretty quiet, but Chris and I have been entertaining ourselves, and perhaps the listeners as well.
The people have been calling in from the Great Lawn. We've heard from a few people on the Great Lawn, but it would be nice to hear from some more people out there. So, Todd, as you walk around, you know, tell people to give us a ring.
Yeah, I'll hand out flyers, and if I see something really particularly interesting, I'll ring you up and hand over the phone, okay?
Fantastic.
Sounds
great.
Good to me, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay, thanks.
Talk to you later. Bye.
I love that sound the phone makes when it disconnects, that buzz, that short little buzz to let you know it's all over. And then it just sits there buzzing at you some more.
Did you do that?
I had nothing to do with that.
What turned me into a robot voice?
I controlled it with my mind. No, it was, I think it was that. It's that. Okay. Buzzing.
No, but I mean something. I mean, I did turn into robot voice for a second. Yeah, let's go back to you know, I really diligently read through today and tomorrow, and so why don't you like do like highlights from tomorrow and move on after that? Is that
tomorrow is Monday, is it not? Yeah, Monday.
Yeah, like this is we're talking. Chris has out the program of what's coming up on this stream over the next 4 days.
More helicopter sound effects over the next couple of days. I don't really know about that, but I know that
can you loop Stinger?
Sure, I can do something very much like that.
Would
serve the same purpose, but it would take a little doing. Tomorrow on Monday, 9 a.m. to noon, Scott Williams will be here with doing web only radio, and I would imagine he's going to be taking phone calls from people as well. And do we know anything about that?
I think he's pretty much going to be making the most of the infinite number of sound bites that he's downloaded in the last couple of weeks that he feels are related to what's going on. I think it's pretty much going to be – I could be completely wrong. My imagination says sound collage, but commentary. But I don't know about – I don't know. We'll see. I don't know about calls.
It remains to be seen, but he will be there.
He will be on.
And he will be on.
Speaking of nice to see. That's very nice.
Is that making you happy?
Yeah, totally. Speaking of nice to see, like, I watch Chris, say, oh, you know, well, that's, you know, I can do that. And just watching Chris's technological studio magic is a pleasure. So thank you, Chris.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate that. We didn't know when you'd get sprung. Sorry it wasn't a party. Usually there's a party.
That's all right. I got the other bicyclist cheered when I got taken up to see my lawyer and get arraigned. So that's good enough for me.
That's really kind of what you need. You need at least some other people to be there to witness when you get out. You know, it's always a nice thing.
Well, that's what I needed from those goddamn pigs was congratulations, and instead they said we've got a situation. You can't get your shit.
Was it worth it after all this? Was it all worth it? Huh? You should have started singing as That Older Is. Just let him figure it out. Tomorrow we have Conservatives Corner on as well from noon to one with a well-known conservative, Radman, who will be speaking with our very own Ken Friedman, I believe, and talking about the issues, playing music by real American bands.
Is it my imagination, or have you taken Radman to task on the message board?
I've taken him to a task over a number of issues. I mean, first of all, I don't believe he's real. I think he's a conceit. I think he's like Tony Clifton, essentially. I don't think he actually exists.
But honestly, this is
a chance to find out. If you listen in and it sounds like someone is doing this with their voice, I am Radman, then you know that you're getting your chain yanked. Right. But there could be a real Radman. Anything's possible.
Ken swears it's true, and he always is straight through. He's been extremely consistent. Maybe it's Ken. Maybe he'll be doing both voices. That would be so cool.
I'll tell you.
Of course, that's why Ken was able to set up the interview.
Yeah.
Oh man. What a revelation.
You're on to something. You really are on to something. There are people who have expressed that view on the discussion board.
Oh, really? I never have heard that one.
Radman. It's shown up in the last day or two.
That
Radman might be Ken. But, it remains to be seen. Tune in and find out. You know, it'll make for an interesting webcast. Conservatives Corner, noon to 1 p.m. on Monday. And then at 1 o'clock, we've got something really great. Not that that isn't great enough, but, I mean, at 1 o'clock, we've got some vintage tape of Vince Scalza and the Cocaine Karma team, Dennis Frawley and Bob Rudnick, at the 1968 Democratic National Convention. Never before aired tape. This is a first. So
that's awesome. I mean,
I'm really intrigued to see what that's all about.
I want to find out what that's all about. I mean, I suspect that it'll kick the ass of what I've been doing today, at least until you showed up.
You never know. It might suck. Who knows?
That's true.
It's never been aired. So I say tune in tomorrow.
It was aired when it was live, was it not?
It says here, never before aired. So I would think.
I think the tape has never before been aired.
But
I think
you're saying it was carried live.
I think that's how we're meant to understand it.
Big fucking jip. No, I think it'll still be worth listening.
Well, for those of you who were tuned into WFMU in 1968 during the Democratic Convention,
call and have a Vietnam flashback, or listen in and have a Vietnam flashback.
Right, let us know that we're lying when we tell you that it's never before been aired.
And then Kenzo's on from 3 to 4. He's got some of Rumsfeld's poetry, some Malcolm X for you, the George W. Bush singers, Paul O'Neill's story. We all want to find out what his story is. And some Cheney for you. We've got lots of stuff coming up over the next 4 days. And
the interactive W is going to be really great.
Five to 6 p.m. every night, you can call in and ask a question of our commander-in-chief, or if you just want to get something off your chest, call and speak to him from 5 to 6 p.m. every weekday. Tomorrow at 6, the Speakeasy with Dorian will be live on this stream, but will also be heard over the air on our regular rig, for lack of a better term. And her guest will be none other than the New York Times' Paul Krugman, who is a columnist there and has put out several books. We got a call here, by the way, coming in. Let's go right to the live line into the studio.
Welcome to the WFMU web stream. You're on the air.
Yeah, I guess I was just calling in to tell you my experience.
Excellent. Please do.
I started out actually at the Don't Just Vote Act part with the dragon that actually ended up being torched later on.
Was that the green dragon?
That was the fire that happened in front of the Madison Square Garden?
Yes.
Oh, because we heard from a couple people about the fire, but never did actually hear what it was, only that it was some sort of construction that wound up on fire. So that's
actually,
nice.
Yeah, that's not true. it was a big dragon that they had probably about maybe 20 people behind carrying. And we actually asked them about the front of it. They had some nostrils on the front, and we were like, well, huh, what's going to come out of there? And they said something about flames, and they were like, that's not happening. And we don't know if it was intentional or not, because they have a lot of equipment in the back of it. So
it seems like it was probably too nice to want to burn up, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I mean, it was definitely like expensive speakers and equipment. They had CDs flying out of it and mics and everything.
But was it Green Dragon related? Was it modern revolutionaries or no?
I don't think so, because everybody gathered with the Don't Act Just Vote people.
Oh, cool. Okay.
What's your name, caller?
My name's Jess.
Jess?
Yeah.
So you're saying we don't know who set it on fire, and it definitely did go on fire, but we don't know who...
Yeah, it definitely did go on fire, but we don't know exactly what happened. If maybe, you know, the flames did come out of the nose and everything went awry. They're like, oh, God, there goes our equipment as well.
You know, some guy worked on it. He worked on getting the flames to come out of the nose, and then he can't use it. He must be frustrated, right?
Yeah, really.
Someone's told him, we can't do the flames today. The cops just told us no fire.
Yeah.
No fucking fire today. And he's got to push that button anyway, because that button's there, that big, shiny red button. He's got to push it.
The nose flame button. The nostril flame button.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a Republican operative snuck into the dragon. Snuck under the dragon.
Could be that.
Push the button, too. We don't know.
That's very true. I could definitely believe that.
Jess, did they all get, like, hauled away when this thing went up in flames? What happened? Did the cops pounce on them, or...
Well, I did hear that there was actually some fighting. I don't know what that was over. If people around were kind of upset because the group took action, and
I would have been upset because it wasn't on fire long enough. I'd be like, shit, that's over too fast. Let's see it go.
Well, there was also a group. There was also a group before the, like, we had moved away from the dragon at this point when it got caught on fire. We had heard about it later, but before, when we were all waiting to feed into the march. Other people had taken down some of the police line signs, and there were people around us that were, you know, objecting to this action that we were taking by taking down the blocks. So, you know, again, I don't know if people got frustrated with what was happening.
You mean you were disassembling the pens?
Excuse me?
You were disassembling pens that people were meant to be waiting in, or...?
No, the blue police line barrier.
Oh, okay.
On the side of the road. They were just mainly taking them down and, you know, whatever. That way people could freely walk. Because at that point we were kind of just waiting and just standing there.
Uh-huh. Right, yeah. It sounds like there's been a fair amount of that.
Yeah, exactly. So. But yeah, it was an interesting experience.
That's cool.
So thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling, and feel free to call back, you know, if you find yourself in Central Park later or something.
I'm here now.
Oh, okay, Jess, you're in Central Park right now?
Yeah,
cool.
I am.
Can you give us some idea of what's going on, how many people you see?
There's a lot of people here, but it's very laid back. It's mainly people resting up and you know, just talking, I guess, you know, again, sharing my thoughts of the day.
So there's no stage that's being spontaneously constructed or anything. No one's arrived with timber and nails and a hammer.
No, I haven't seen anything.
What about a soapbox? Anybody bring a soapbox?
No.
That's all you really need. Someone gets up on the soapbox.
There's definitely a bench that someone could take advantage of, but...
Is anybody speechifying? Is anybody saying anything? Are they?
There's something. Earlier there was a brass band that was playing.
It's always nice to have the brass band.
Oh, definitely. It's a nice change from the drumming as well.
Yeah. The drumming gets a little old, some of those drummers. Yeah.
I mean, as much as I love dirty hippies, there's something about drumming that just says I'm too much of a dirty hippie. But
let's play some hacky sack next. Why don't we? Jess, thanks for calling. And, you know, if you do come across anybody who sounds like they're about to give a speech, call us back.
Did you call back?
Yeah, I'd love
to hear. Please feel free to call back.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Or, you know, Jess, if you come across a nice Republican couple who looks like they've just gotten into town and they're coming down to the park to enjoy the park, call us back for that, too.
Okay. Yeah. I'll keep a lookout for that.
Thanks,
okay,
Jess.
Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks a lot.
No problem.
You know, who was that? That was somebody that handed...
I think that was Todd.
That was Todd, right, okay.
Yeah, he's pulling the strings in Central Park.
I'm telling you, Todd, or like Stumpy, as we like to call him, is really doing the job today. He really,
absolutely.
You know, you're a man on the scene.
Yeah.
And he was the guy that got the word out when you were, you know, snatched up and sent off to the Hoosegow.
I'm grateful for both.
So, and it was really great that and it was very eloquent what he said when he talked about how he had never seen anything like this in his life, that people who essentially weren't doing anything wrong being rounded up. And it sounds to me like you were right when you said earlier, you know, that this was a way to really find out if the machinery works.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was their first chance to arrest
hundreds of people at the same time, and they just made...
Can
made
I say them, that you broke their cherry? We're on the web. I can say that, right?
Oh, man, you can say that as much as you want.
I can say that. Yeah, you broke their cherry.
I popped the cherry of the New York Police Department.
Yeah, you should get a T-shirt when you get out. I popped the cherry of the New York City Police Department's RNC Task Force, otherwise known as the Parks Department. After this whole thing is over again, they go back to being called the Parks Department.
Oh, that's also nice.
We haven't heard anybody from the Parks Department, and that would be really nice.
Nor
if
any
someone,
pigs.
Or any pigs, because, again, I think because you call them pigs, that might turn them off. But, you know, police officers, if they're out there, it's true that they are tools of the state, but they're people, too. And we must try to
call in and
appeal.
Call in and
we must try to appeal.
Call
to
in and convince
of
me of that. I'm such a hard nosed bastard, man. I really.
You know, I understand that. I can understand that because we're living in an age where, you know, it's all about state control, and that's really what happened to you. The state, you know, came down on you the other day. Came down on you Friday night. It was Friday night. With the full force of its apparatus.
And that's, you know, but I'm sorry, I have to take another tangent, because that's kind of a weird thing. Like, I've always been really, like, I mean, I like to think I'm open-minded, and as I said, the gun control guy told Todd afterwards that he thought that I was fair, but honestly, I mean... but honestly, yeah, thank you, Chris. I mean, you heard me, perhaps if you've been listening for a while, you heard how staggering I was before Chris came along. So in fact, you know.
Oh, please, don't even. It's all been wonderful program.
Oh, terrific. But in any case, I mean, it was terrific. I had a great time, and I think it was successful, but it was staggering. And you digress
to talk about the state coming down on you with both feet, as it were, to harsh your mellow, to throw you in the pokey.
Was that what I was talking about?
Yeah, I think
when I said I was going off on a tangent,
right.
That wasn't it. It was something else.
Oh, it was another
and
tangent.
And I can't remember what it was. Hmm. So I think we should go back to the upcoming schedule and announce that on Tuesday night, between 6 and 7, I'm going for highlights.
The Dirty Duck is here.
Yeah, the Dirty Duck.
I can see why you would skip to that. That's going to be wild.
The Dirty Duck waxes poetic on the Republican Party, and that's from 6 to 7 on Tuesday night.
It was rumored that the Dirty Duck Duck was dead, but I
no,
I
think that was the old codger, man. The Dirty Duck is fine. He OD'd, but they took him to the hospital, and he's fine, man. Don't even get into that.
I won't even get into it. I just thought
the Dirty Duck is fine. I mean, he's a young man, and
all right, let's call it what it was. It was an internet rumor, okay?
Or he's a young
duck. I'm excited.
Duck is the case, baby.
I'm also excited by the fact we're going to be doing these different audio hijacks throughout the event.
Yeah, absolutely.
Meaning that roughly between 8 o'clock and 11, when there is speeches coming out of the RNC, we will provide the audio. We will have control of your audio.
So, but in fact, that's actually going to – I want to be more specific. Okay, that's Monday and Wednesday.
Yes.
We're going to have web-only alternate audio soundtrack for
right.
the RNC.
And on Tuesday, ooh.
Tuesday, ooh, exactly.
Ooh.
You want to do Tuesday?
Let's talk about counter-programming. It's going to be a – it's called Fulfilling America's Promise, Building a Safer World for Fashion and a More Stylish GOP. Hosted by Sue Braun, who has a team of so-called experts with color commentary during Tuesday night's convention activities. So you will be able to, I believe, turn on your TV, and they will provide some commentary of the helmet hair, different type of hair that you're seeing, the different tailors,
yep,
people like
absolutely.
Arnold will have a suit on, and we'll, you'll
and
get
and
to
I,
hear
I
about
I happen
it.
To know that the co-hosts are going to be Mark Allen, who's Man About Town, amazing.
Bon Vivant,
you know, multimedia specialist, you know. He's
right.
he writes, he does video, he's been a host.
I think he tap dances, too.
He did a really good listener hour not that long ago.
Really?
He's okay. a WFMU DJ.
Yes.
Carrie Turner is going to be on there. So, though, in fact, that may actually be a secret, and I don't know if that should be repeated. But I'm sure that...
Ixnay on the Ari K. There's some people on the phone, by the way. We got a caller here and two more people calling in.
Should we skip back to that?
I mean, I would love to hear from these people while we have the chance. They could get taken away at any moment.
We'll just read the schedule.
What if they get locked up by like you did? What if they end up in the paddy wagon?
That would be a damn shame.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't be able to talk to him. So, okay, we'll put the phone in program and we'll fade it up. And then...
see, that person hung up, but there's another person right here. Hello?
Oh, hello. Hi, this is Bob Armstrong. Todd here. This is being your roving reporter at on the Great Lawn.
What the fuck did he just say? I'm Bob Armstrong, and I'm tired of being your roving reporter. Did he say
no,
tired?
No. Todd is your roving reporter.
Oh, Todd.
Oh, with Todd.
And
cool.
He handed me his phone. And said, hey, give these guys the point of view of the Manhattan Libertarian Dad, the Drug Affairs Director for Manhattan.
Or the MLD, as we like to call him here.
FLD.
I thought you said Manhattan Libertarian Dad.
Yeah, Libertarian. Yeah. I'm the Drug Affairs Director with the Manhattan Libertarian.
Did you say the Drug Affairs Director?
Yeah.
He did, yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, well, you know, I can't believe it, but I'm going to be 60 in November, so I guess it's you know.
Bob sounds like he needs a little Gatorade, like he's a little dehydrated or something.
I don't know. I think a line of Coke might do the trick.
I could use something here, because it's been a long afternoon.
Yeah.
But it's quite a scene out here.
Yeah.
Have you been getting some reports?
We've been getting calls from all over the Great Lawn. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Todd is one of your roving reporters?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Although he doesn't officially work for us, just for liability reasons. We spoke to our lawyers.
Yeah, well, let me just comment. Of course, our candidate is Michael Badnarik, our candidate against John Bush and George Kerry. I mean, there's so little difference between them. But Badnarik is going to be in a debate with the Green Party candidate, and I guess actually another guy, on Tuesday evening.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I don't have the details here, but I'm sure you can get them off the web.
Well, Bob, that sounds really interesting. It sounds like people can actually tune into that debate somewhere between Bob...
It'll be on C-SPAN, in any case.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. But also they can try to get there. Tickets are free. But I don't know how quickly the whole place will fill up. But obviously that's, I mean, Bush and Kerry are invited, but there'll be empty seats for them.
Well, that sounds great, Bob. Thanks for calling.
And here's back to Todd.
Okay. All right.
Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Hey, Todd, we got another call coming in, so thanks for that.
Sure. I'm just going to I don't need to be on the air. I'll just be passing the phone around, okay?
Okay, cool. Yeah. Right on. Keep calling back.
Just don't go back to Bob Armstrong, okay?
No. Thanks for calling. Sorry about that. Hello, you're on the air. You're on the web.
Hi.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
yeah,
we certainly can.
Great. This is April S. I'm calling for a couple of reasons. One is to let you know that, first of all, Indie Media has pictures of the dragon on fire.
Okay, that's
great.
Online, indiemedia.org?
Uh-huh. Okay. And they also have some news feeds from, like, various sites, so, like, from the park, from Midtown, et cetera. So it's very informative.
Cool.
That sounds great.
Yeah. And I saw someone with an FMU shirt at the march, just one person with a Freedom is Free form.
Nice.
Very faded, so he wears it a lot. And I was at the Critical Mass ride Friday night. And
the one where our very own Cosmic Cowboy got escorted away?
Yeah.
In plastic handcuffs?
But you managed to not get arrested. You sensibly managed to not get arrested.
By the way, Jason, has this taught you to carry around a single-edged razor blade with you from now on that you can... like hide somewhere on you,
so I can scrape. I can
right through
scrape
those
my fingerprints off. Like.
No, cut through the plastic handcuffs. All it's going to take is one fairly new single-edged razor blade. That's all you would need.
Well, if you
get
have
out
a
of those
bike
handcuffs.
Tool with you.
Sorry.
If you have a good bike tool with you.
That's
good,
a fact. Yeah.
They would take that.
Okay, so sorry. Back to where you were. You were on the ride.
Yeah, no, I was with Jason Doss. And
cool.
Yeah, and we were right. So we finished. We kind of broke off early. And we were going to, so we were on First Avenue and I don't know, 10th or something. And we were going to head down to Lit on Second Avenue, which is what, at 4th or 5th or something?
Right.
And, so we decided that we were, because we ride our bikes a lot and we're very good about following, you know, traffic laws.
Jason is a great bike rider. Jason Doss,
right.
Too.
Yes.
You are as well. But
I'm an enthusiastic bike rider. I don't know how great I am. But So you thought, we'll just ride down 2nd Avenue.
Yeah, exactly, because there's the bike lane and, of course, you know, you're going the right way.
Right.
So we went up north and we cut across at, like, 11th or something. And we thought that's great, too, because we'll pass St. Mark's Church and we can see what's going on there.
Right.
And we, yeah. So we saw everyone assembled, and there were, like, police everywhere. The helicopter was, like, circling. And we tried to ride down the street, and the police had blocked it off. And they started screaming at us to get out of there, otherwise they were going to arrest us for disorderly conduct, just like the rest of these people here. And so I, like a brilliant person, started arguing with a police officer. And I was saying, what's the problem? We're trying to follow the law here. We're trying to ride down the street.
Right,
what do you suggest we do? And, of course, they were like, get out of here. So eventually we moved, but it didn't look
April,
a bit awesome.
April,
Chris,
yes.
You have to wait,
okay.
Because honestly, everyone whom I spoke to who got arrested at Second Avenue, the police said to them, everyone said the same thing. I'm just trying to leave here, and Watt was walking their bikes, and the police said, right this way, with their arm, like, right behind their back. And as soon as those people said, I know where I'm going, they said, don't resist. So perhaps, you know, I don't know, but you did the right thing somehow, or you were in the right place, because everyone to whom I spoke said the same thing, that the police said, right this way. Come right into our web of...
web of deceit. We've got you now!
Right. So it's lucky they said, get away, instead of come right this way.
Right. Well, you know what was interesting? When we were riding down 11th, you know, which is a one-way street, and we were, you know, there were all of these bikes riding in the opposite direction. A lot, you know, clearly people from Critical Mass, and we didn't know quite what was going on. But
right, they were trying to get away.
People, exactly. Of course, like the brilliant people we were riding right into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looked like they were arresting people on the street, but not assembled at the church.
I think ultimately they did, like, the crowd in front of the church got big and they sort of charged into it with the scooters and created a situation where people were tripping over each other and falling onto the scooters, and it became became a real problem.
Well, let me just say one thing I saw when we were riding. Gosh, we were on the east side, and I think we were in Midtown at this point. And there was, we're crossing through a light, and middle of the intersection, I mean, like tons of bike riders riding through this intersection, and there was a car stuck in the middle. And there was a cop who was yelling at the driver to move. And he was saying, like, just drive on through, just drive on through. Ugh. And the driver, because there were all of these bicyclists in front of him, was refusing to budge.
Right.
And he had this cop screaming at him. I couldn't believe it.
That's, wow.
And, wow. And I've done critical mass before, and I usually they're really helpful.
Right. The police pretty much, you could almost say they escort the ride.
Exactly.
That's perhaps exaggerating, and I'm sure that they wouldn't want to see it in exactly those terms. But that's,
those fucking pigs, how dare they?
That's sort of how it usually comes out, yeah.
No one wants them along.
Chris is taking over for me. Since I'm being polite, he's taking the fucking pigs tack.
I've been waiting so that I could, you know, I can try to give April some, you know, instruction in how to speak to police.
Well, believe me, I think I held on to my own on Friday.
Okay.
But you know, they were pretty good today during the march. I thought.
That's how it sounds. It sounds like it was a march that wound up being safe for any sort of people who wanted to come. Which is really, that was the goal. I mean, I don't know if that was the goal of the police. It seems like they really did try to intimidate people by playing up the presence of dangerous anarchists and by arresting so many people at critical mass. I think that was meant to send a message. But when it came right down to it today, it sounds like the march came off really nice.
And there are estimates too. United for Peace and Justice was estimating that there were 400,000 people.
And the official estimate, the police estimate was 150, and the other people, like the official news said, like 225.
Wow.
I'm just guessing, actually, from what you said.
That sounds right. That sounds like what's going to happen tomorrow. The police will have the lowest estimate. It serves their purposes, and the media will be somewhere in the middle.
Right. Probably on the low side.
On the low side.
And United for Peace and Justice.
What does the eye in the sky have to say?
Right. The United for Peace and Justice is a little high, you know.
Yeah.
The media is a little low, and the police are way low. That's kind of the way I figure it.
Right. And the critical mass estimate was, what, 4,000? Largest ever.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Because it was really hard to tell in the park before.
Did you say 400,000?
Yeah.
No, 4,000.
Well, you know, I've seen in the past... When you ride by and they have the counters and they're, you know, when you start the ride. And I didn't see that this time, but it was so crazy this time. So.
Yeah, there were a lot of people watching and cheering this time, which was nice.
Yeah, that was really cool, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, I cry at every tiny little thing. But I actually, when we started the ride and there were people kind of lining the streets and cheering, I actually got a little misty there.
That's nice.
That's, you know, it's nice that you could feel like people care. I mean, it's great that people come out and show that they do care, and I think that's what's going to happen this week.
I think it's nice that you can feel, period,
yes,
in this day and age.
Despite 4 years of a Republican administration that's trying to screw us all into the ground, that you could still feel.
You're not insanely militarized, and you're not brainwashed either.
That's good.
You know, the march today, I felt like, to me, it was important as a New Yorker to show up and, you know.
Right on. Me too.
Good.
I feel that way too. I certainly would have been there if I hadn't been here.
Yeah.
And I plan to turn out on Tuesday for something or other.
I'm going to try to find Republicans in Times Square because I go that way every day. And my assignment for the week is to try to get some audio from a nice Republican couple, maybe with a child in tow, who have come into the city and are not going to see You're in Town, for example. They're going to see, you know, 42nd Street or Wonderful Town or something that's like Lion King is nice.
Lion King is nice.
So I'm going to hang out in front of the theater, the new Amsterdam, I think is where the Lion King is. And just try to talk to some folks who maybe are gaping at the figures in the windows at Madame Tussauds, you know. So hopefully the Republicans will make it up to 42nd Street. I'm going to have a sign that says Red State?
I think that's actually happening tonight. That the delegates are actually. I think if I were to open
tonight's the theater night.
I think tonight's the theater night, and I think it even
light
says
the lights. We got nothing to hit but the heights, kiting up. Is Gypsy still showing, or is that over, Gypsy? Gypsy would be a nice show. It's got a little.
It's got to be done, right?
In it, right?
Okay, yeah. Republican Broadway events.
Not a Republican.
Okay. Oh, no, this is the wrong one. Okay, I did. This just lists the theaters, in fact, and it doesn't even say the dates. But I did see, I saw a schedule that included which delegations were going to which shows, and I believe there's going to be some sort of action on 42nd Street tonight to try and, you know, convince them that they're wrong.
Well, that's good.
Like that.
It's always nice to intercept people on the way or coming back from a show, a Broadway show. Maybe on the way out, because they'll be a little more, you know, excited and a little more up.
Can you
know what I'm saying?
Can you get beer at Broadway shows? I never go.
No.
You can get liquor.
Yeah, okay, only liquor.
You can get liquor.
Yeah. That's during intermission, though. You can go out in the lobby and get liquor.
Yeah.
And with the price of some of those shows, you better get some liquor.
Right. Well, I mean, you certainly can spring for it.
Mm-hmm.
How about, look, I mean, our phone lines have suddenly lit up like a Christmas tree.
Maybe something's happening on the Great Lawn.
All right.
April, thanks for calling.
Is Jason there?
No problem. He's right here, yeah.
Can we say hi for a sec?
Yeah, of course. Just a minute.
I never found out if he likes being called J.D. I had a cousin who was John Douglas, and we used to call him J.D. And I always want to call Jason Doss J.D.
Hello?
Hey, Jason.
Hey.
Just wanted to check in. I mean, pleasure talking to April. I'm glad you've been glad you've been having a good time.
Can I call you JD?
Yes, for sure.
Okay. Hey, JD, how's it going?
It's going good. I'm trying to think what I could say that she didn't already, but I don't know. I would definitely say check out the pictures on the Indie Media website.
Okay, cool.
I don't know. Just seeing the big flaming dragon thing is pretty cool.
All right. We have to take a look at that.
It was way more, you know, nothing like the peaceful marchers I saw, but it's pretty exciting stuff.
Okay.
And apparently there's something going on at Times Square in the last hour or so where there were a lot of arrests.
Already? Okay, I was actually talking about, like, chaos on Broadway, which I think was an attempt to impress the delegates on their way to their shows tonight.
Oh, it's an attempt to fuck up their night out at the show is what it is.
Yeah,
come on.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
They're out there in their ermine and pearls, and you're fucking them up. You know,
I think that already got busted like a half hour ago. You know, I don't know if they're going to try again later.
Right. Well,
it's a little early for the Broadway show.
When did the theater become like the U.S. Post Office? Nothing stops the theater. A night out at the theater.
Well, in a couple hours, those people will have made their way to appear on the West Side, where they'll be detained in a chain link fence cell pen with razor wire at the top, and
charged with protesting theater,
and a really greasy cement floor charged with protesting theater.
That's what you were in?
Yeah,
that was your pen.
That was my pen.
Maybe a good piece of advice if people get nothing else out of this program today, to bring along some kind of beach towel or something they could lay on the greasy floor for when they get jacked up by the man.
Before you go in the pen,
they'll take it from you.
Yeah, I would say wear an extra piece of clothing that's good.
Shove it down your pants.
Wear a cape.
Yeah. I love the idea of a cape. What are they going to take that from you?
No, they didn't take any clothing. Only your like other separate possessions, your bag.
Yeah, your
stuff,
shoestrings, your belts, things you could choke yourself on. So
should we get that other caller?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
Jason? Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. You guys are doing great.
Thanks to April as well. That was nice to hear from both of you.
Cool.
We got another caller right there.
You're on the web with WFMU. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
All right. Thanks. Who are we talking to?
Dave.
Thanks for calling. Where are you?
I'm walking around Central Park.
Cool. Somewhere besides the Great Lawn, or just curious?
No, just around the edge of the Great Lawn, watching people throwing around softball.
Is he on the sheet meadow?
I'm sorry?
You on the sheet meadow?
I'm on the sheet meadow. Chris, funny.
Well, Chris has got his sound effects. He wants everyone to be on the sheet meadow.
I'm like a kid with a new toy. What can I say?
There you go. Yeah, came out from L.A. for the big protest.
Hey, Myron came out from L.A. People are flying in from the other coast to go to this protest.
You're our second caller. I mean, do you know the other person that called us?
You didn't come out with Myron, did you?
No, I don't know Myron.
Yeah.
Wow. That's,
I know Eugene.
That's interesting that he would know Eugene and yet not Myron.
Yeah.
So what's the report from your part of the park? What's happening?
People are hanging out. People are having a good time. Just, you know, carrying their signs, chanting. Best sign so far was George Bush couldn't run a laundromat.
You know, I remember seeing that during the 2000 election. That was a big bumper sticker.
That's so he still can't run a laundromat.
No, I think he would still find it very difficult to actually run and manage a laundromat.
Well, he might run it as poorly as he's running the United States these days. So.
There you go.
It would be a laundromat that's being shut down as we speak.
I don't know. Maybe he would be able to find the right patrons by somehow like offering them, like maybe if he could find the right people to buy washing machines from, they could actually convince other people, stupid people, to come and wash their clothes there.
Yeah, I figured it out.
I'm sure Halliburton would have a no-bid contract for all the detergents.
For all the machines and the detergent. I figured
and
out why.
All the quarters would be missing.
I also think that the concept of people washing their own clothes would so freak him out that he couldn't even understand why he'd be, you know, have a laundromat.
Wow. Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Who washes their own clothes? Don't you get a person to do that for you?
Right.
Well, yeah, if you're George Bush, you certainly do.
Certainly you do.
And always have, yeah.
He's only washed his own clothes when, like, he was out on a bender and he puked on himself and he had to stop at a laundromat.
There
before going
go.
Back to the base or whatever, that kind
yeah.
of thing.
But he probably just washed them in the sink
there
and went.
Some people
went
and didn't even go back to the base. Is that what you're saying? Screw going back to the base. I'm George W. Bush. I don't got to go back there. Come on, I'm in the champagne unit. So, have you talked to anybody down in the park today, sir? Have you gotten any comments from people about the day's activities or?
Yeah, people seem pretty pumped up about it. There's some people that were kind of upset that people weren't more angry. There wasn't enough anger out there.
But yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard a count? Have they issued any number of people?
We were just
number
told
of people who were angry.
You were.
What is he talking about?
We were just told that the United for Peace and Justice number is 400,000, but they said that only a tiny fraction of those people were angry.
Yeah, there's only 10,000 or so really angry people. Yeah, the rest were sort of peeved.
Yeah,
and
sort of.
Some were just ticked off.
They don't like George Bush.
Yeah, others, you know, were enjoying the day, felt the sunshine was great, and they were meeting new people.
Yeah.
We have that breakdown. We'll get those percentages to you at some point. But it's really great that you could be part of this this web stream. Thanks for calling from Central Park.
Glad to help
Thanks
out.
Thanks a lot. Have a good time.
We got another caller here. Hello?
Hello. This is Phil Farm calling from the Great Lawn in Central Park.
Did he say P.T. Barnum?
I think he said Phil Farm.
Phil Farm.
Phil Farnum. Yeah, right.
Phil Farnum.
I thought you would be out there with, like, a tractor, like, tilling up the Great Lawn. Phil Farmer.
Actually, a lot of people here. I'm calling. I'm actually a member of the Revolutionary Communist Party, and what we're doing here is we're promoting, among other things, we're promoting this film that the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party, Bob Avakian, did. And we have this showing tomorrow night at the Abingdon Theater, so I'm calling to promote that and also to report that there's several thousand people here in the park.
Your commie has no regard for human life, not even his own. And for this reason, men,
what is
I
that?
Want to impress upon
what is that they're saying in the background
the
where you are?
Watchfulness.
I'm hearing something in the background.
Individually, or he may come in strength.
He may even come
in the uniform of our own troops.
I think that's from your end.
I thought they were making an announcement in the park for a minute.
There's drums here.
Yeah. Oh, there's only hippie drums there? Huh.
Yeah. One thing we're interested in is we've heard different reports about what people are saying the size of the march was. Did you... Do you know what the official media is saying?
I don't know. I know what United for Peace and Justice said, which was 400,000, and then I immediately offered my own personal estimate based on that the police had said 150 and the responsible media had said 235.
Yeah. Well, there's several reports that CNN reported over a million.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, good for CNN.
Yeah, so maybe I think that's...
That's probably really wrong. But oh, really?
Whatever. Yeah, no. This was as big as the thing in March.
Wow. The pre-war. Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly. Yeah. No, it was huge. It was absolutely huge.
That's great. It sounded like people were leaving. Like it took at least a few hours for everyone to even begin the march, which is great. I mean, that's what I personally was hoping. So that's really exciting.
We came over from Union Square, and it took us forever even to get on the 7th Avenue.
Wow, that's great.
And then basically finally spent a couple hours on 7th Avenue and then decided to come up to Central Park.
And spread your communist ideas around.
Absolutely.
How dare you?
It's what people need.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, very good, and thanks for your reporting.
No problem. Have a good night.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's nice that everybody gets to be part of this thing, even the communists, billionaires for Bush.
Yeah.
At some point, everybody will be sucked into this thing. I know.
You know what? This piece of paper floated to the top of my mass of papers here, and I like it so much. It's a beautiful orange sticker. It says, "Abortion on demand and without apology."
Yeah.
I mean, I'm cutting right in, but I mean, what the hell?
But that's never going to fucking happen. So keep wishing. I mean, you know, that's. I mean, it's nice that that sticker exists and that's the position of those folks. But
you know, I'm just thinking like this is going. I said when I got it, I was like, this is going right on my car.
Yeah.
And in fact,
your car will get fucked up then if you're waiting for a broken window.
Chris, you're talking to someone who's got a sticker on his car that says patriotism is gay.
Well, you just haven't been parking in the right neighborhoods is your problem. You're going to get to the right neighborhood one night, and it'll come out, and there'll be a brick through the
windshield. It's been on there since 2 4th of July's ago.
Well, that's pretty good, man. That's pretty
they
good.
They know, I also have my necklace of bloody baby doll heads hanging from the rearview mirror. So I know, I think...
You they sick SOB.
They see that, and
wait
they
a minute, I could actually say son of a bitch. Why am I saying SOB?
You can always say son of a bitch.
You could always say son of a bitch. You sick fuck.
Bingo. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding.
So they see the bloody baby doll heads and they think, oh, man, if I fuck with this guy's car, I'm in trouble. So,
yeah,
like,
yeah. Don't fuck with the escort station wagon.
the white escort station wagon.
He's a sick fuck. Yeah, I can see that. But you're right. I mean, I think it is a great idea to have abortion on demand and without apology. I just don't know in this current climate in the world in which we now live and the way things currently are in the United States of America. But all you can do is try to bring that about. You know,
I mean, I just there's so many pro-choice, anti-choice bumper stickers on cars. There's so many pro-life.
God.
That's the term I was looking for.
Yeah.
There's so many pro-life. I see them every day.
Everywhere.
And
the Jesus fish.
It's so rare that you see like a pro abortion bumper sticker. And
yeah.
I mean no one is pro abortion. No one thinks like I've never known a woman who I thought, like, oh wow, I wish you could get pregnant so you could have an abortion.
Yeah,
well, can I help you?
Yeah, if you met such a gal, you might not want to, you know, I don't know.
Right. So, nobody wants that. But realistically, anyone with sense also doesn't want children born who aren't going to be welcomed into the world.
No, I mean, I could have 7 years ago I went through that. I went through the whole experience because an abortion happens. I mean, the woman has the abortion, but there is a man involved at some point in that process.
Unfortunately, I also have been.
There may not be, but there might be. Yeah. You might, as the man, you might. And it is. It's whereas men don't go through it physically, there is an emotional process that you have to go through.
Absolutely.
And I am so glad I don't currently have a 7-year-old son or daughter because I don't think I really don't think that. With the situation as it was between her and I, that there would be two people raising this child. This would be a child of divorce and someone who was being shuffled back and forth and, you know, who I think would have gotten a shitty start in life.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I hear you.
So it's far more immoral to bring children into the world that you cannot and aren't able to support properly. I mean, to give a proper life to.
Not to mention the fact, in the bigger scheme of things, in my own head, I think that it's really important that there be. I mean, I think the fact that there are more and more people in the world is really negative, and I think the population control is one of the elementary things because I think that the more crowded an area becomes, the more cutthroat people become, and it affects the way the rat thing. You know,
I agree.
And the chicken thing. You know, chickens are peaceful birds, but if you pack them into a chicken house,
they'll peck the living shit out of each other. I know.
Exactly.
We're just a little bit better than chickens. Is that what you're saying?
Well,
just a little bit better. I might peck the shit out of somebody if they were too close to me. I've been standing at a bus stop
in
Manhattan, and there's some guy who's standing too close to you, and you step away because it's not enough personal space.
I started thinking about police and how you know, how police and chickens. It's like knack and knack, as the case may be.
You police like chicken? What are you saying? They like to eat chicken?
I'm thinking intellectually.
Right.
Intellectually, yeah. which one would I rather talk about the New York Times with a chicken or with a policeman? And the answer is neither of them reads the New York Times, and so I can't discuss it with either of them.
Yeah. I know
the New York Times is really stale, and they have their own twisted perspective. But they do cover a lot more ground than the other local papers.
I like a nice tabloid.
You're a news guy? Wow.
Yeah, I'm a daily news person, but I will read the New York Times. And my problem with the daily news has been its editorial stance. They've jumped on the let's beat on Kerry bandwagon for whatever reasons they might have. Or they may just not be enthusiastic about either candidate. It may be that they feel that neither one of them is really the best man for the job. And, you know, we're again faced with a choice of the lesser of two evils, like we have been in my whole voting life. I mean, I've been eligible to vote since 1980. And I have voted in every local election and every national election. Wow. People who, say things like, it's really important this year. I'm really going to go vote. Make me want to puke. To me, it's just like, you mean you haven't been voting all this time and now it's important enough to you?
There's someone we have to give a call because I know someone just like that. I think all you can do is, I mean, if getting someone to vote this year, who knows? Maybe they'll turn into a lifelong voter, and they won't just.
I'm not saying that they.
I certainly admire the fact that you voted in every election. I'm not saying it
to be admirable. I think that it's just a case of it's the least you can do. If you can't get motivated enough to find out what's going on in your area, in your community, and vote on the issues. If you can't get motivated enough, then tough shit. Whatever happens, it's too fucking bad. Whatever you then have to deal with for the next X number of years in terms of the increasing amounts of costs that are passed on to you, the fact that your life, despite the fact that you're working harder and harder, is getting worse and worse, you know, then you have no there's nothing for you to complain about.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. But my take was that usually it makes a difference who you vote for. It always makes a difference who you vote for.
Yeah, even by slight degrees, it might not be much of a difference. But the thing is,
I think the person I was thinking of calling is someone. I mean, I just think it like. The Bush policies like jarred this person out of their complacency, and it took something really astonishing and appalling, and just the fact that you know something that the Bush administration is sufficiently astonishing and appalling to have motivated this person, I think is telling, and I think that it like that there are a lot like people who are active, you know, they vote already, and if they're listening to FMU, they vote their conscience. We know that, and they probably vote lefty. But like there are a lot of people out there who don't vote, and in fact those are the more important people to be appealing to, even though you know I mean you're telling me you know,
I see,
don't
I
say
think,
fuck the pigs no, I say no. Don't say fuck the people who don't vote.
I'm not saying that I think it's a good thing that they are voting. I think that the fact that they get up and will admit to having never voted before, I don't need that information. I mean, you never voted before, keep your fucking mouth shut, you know what I mean? Vote this time. It's like they get up and say it like it was never really necessary before, but now it is. It was necessary before. I lived through 8 years of Ronald Reagan. Where the hell were these people then?
I constantly reflect on that because nowadays that seems like the good old days. Doesn't
it seems
it? Doesn't
like
it seem
the good
like
old days, but I lived through it, and it wasn't. There was nothing good about it.
I mean,
there was nothing good about that.
I was a teenager then. I mean, it seems like Mayberry to me. That it seems like this naive time when everyone wanted to be nice.
That's because we weren't getting fucked half as much as we are now. Now we're getting fucked twice as much as we were then. So now you're like, Jesus, I'm getting fucked twice as much as I was between 1980 and 1988, I'm taking a real fucking over this guy.
Exactly.
And it's time for this shit to end.
Exactly.
That's
my point
why.
Was getting fucked is okay, but getting doubly fucked, man, that's not okay.
It's like that line from that movie, you know, like, kiss me. You know, I like to get kissed when I'm being fucked. It was Al Pacino in Dog Day Afternoon. And George W. Bush won't even kiss you. He won't even give you a reach around. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And who the fuck needs that? Right. Nobody needs that.
Nobody needs that.
And if you're motivated enough by that to go out and vote this year, well, then I do applaud you. I didn't mean to, you know, get on you earlier, yeah. But just don't stand up and proudly say I've never voted before. There's nothing to be proud about.
That's a good point. This administration is so bad that I'm going to vote now, and in fact, let it become a habit. You know, let it become a habit. And in fact, you know, you say you vote in local elections. I rarely have.
I voted in school board elections. I mean, I feel among other things, really, the school board is where it really starts. I mean,
absolutely.
All these Christian groups that have been able to get a hold of the local school board are wreaking havoc.
Yeah.
Wreaking havoc in the local schools and coming up with the biggest bullshit you've ever heard to subject the kids to. I mean, I'd be so depressed if I was a teenager nowadays. I mean, I know that getting older, people, you know, it's a thing, and I got a birthday coming up. But if I was a kid nowadays, I would be ready to hang myself by my shoelaces. Because
I think so. I mean,
we can both
remember the beautiful, permissive 70s.
Before cell phones, before the internet. Ooh, you remember that?
Chris, I have to tell you, yeah. I wouldn't have been able to call Sue on Friday night and let her know that I couldn't do my show if there hadn't been someone else there with a cell phone. You
don't think that one of the officers or pigs on hand could have escorted you to a payphone somewhere?
I mean, they
have to have a phone available, right?
Chris, I got arrested at 9 o'clock at night. Yeah. I had access to a phone at 4 o'clock the next afternoon.
Oh, my God.
Here,
absolutely.
That is, I had access.
Now, what if you had gone to them?
Mind you, there were 16-year-old kids, one of whom was arrested with his mother, so she knew where he was.
Yeah.
And in fact, at the time, she said, this is my son. He's only 16. Can't we stay together? And he was like, 16? Males over here, females over there.
It's like, what are you going to Auschwitz? What the hell is this?
But fortunately,
what are they doing?
Fortunately, after he said males over here, females over there, he pointed to places that were only like 10 feet apart.
Oh.
And then they stood there for two.
Were mother and son able to talk to each other through the fence?
No, they were on 35th Street standing on the sidewalk against the wall of a parking lot that bordered the sidewalk. And he pointed one to one place and one to another, but they were only 10 feet away. Little did they know that they were going to stand there for two more hours. So I think they had plenty of time to, like, go through the separation thing.
Were they text messaging each other? Did they have their phones
They were just whispering to each other. They were close enough. They were, like, separated, but close enough to whisper to each other. But wait, I'm not done with 16-year-olds, because there was another kid who was on the opposite side of 35th Street on the sidewalk next to me, who was 16, who'd been riding.
You said riding and not rioting. Let's
Excuse
be clear
me.
About that.
Excuse me.
Right? Riding.
What's the difference?
Well, when you're riding, you're not breaking shit up. You're not busting shit up. I mean, you're not rioting.
I got charged with disorderly conduct, didn't I?
You did, but that's not necessarily rioting. If you had been rioting,
I would
have charged you with what?
Terrorism.
disturbing the peace, I'm sure, would have been one of the charges.
Oh, right,
of course.
Yeah,
there
would have
been a
number
of charges.
That's so close, but probably would have been
But
terrorism.
You were just acting disorderly.
Probably would have been terrorism. I was not. I was standing on the sidewalk.
Does that mean like Jerry Lewis? What does that mean? You're walking down the street going, lady.
But wait, let me tell you about the other 16-year-old kid.
So
this kid was like clearly nervous and like, I mean, not like, you know, he was cool. He was not freaking out, but he was like clearly like, so, you know, like asking questions like, what does this mean? Like, you know, and I mean, I was chatting him up because I felt like, you know, I could just distract. You know, I was right next to him.
Right. You're
like,
talking him off down from the ledge.
Instead of talking to the guy on the other side of me, I made a point of talking to this kid so that he would be busy and not be like thinking too much about what was going to happen.
Good thing.
And so like then I saw him like once on the pier, like he was in another pen, so we didn't talk, like, you know, but I could see he was over there. And then at like 4 p.m, you know, like right exactly when I got to use the phone for the first time and 20 minutes before my bologna sandwich, this kid walks in, you know, like there's a, like they were constantly like putting people in cells and taking them out. It was like this random weird shuffle that happened all the way through the system. So you'd like see some people and then not see them for a few hours and then you'd see them again. And so this kid walks into the cell looking really, really like tired, but not like sad or depressed.
Right.
Just like I just
worn out by the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah.
The greasy floor and all. So I was like, oh, you're still at it, eh? like, you know, yeah. like, you know, hey. What could be more fun on a Saturday afternoon than, like, snaking your way slowly through this tedious process of bureaucracy?
Got to get through the entrails of the system.
One cell to another. And I walk out the door of the thing when I finally had done my court and got released. And I'm standing there talking to the National Lawyers Guild folks. And this woman walks up, and she's got papers in her hand. She's saying, like, can you help me? You know, I've been inside, and they couldn't really tell anything. I'm looking for my son. He's 16. And I looked
Dear, but we had to execute your son. He made a break for it.
I looked at this woman, and she was just the spitting image of this
kid that I've been talking to.
Yeah. And, like, so I was like, so your son has, like, blonde curly hair and a baseball cap? And she was like, yeah, and a Quebec shirt on. And I was like, yeah, that's the kid.
Yeah,
that's the kid. So I was like, well, you know.
Were they from Quebec? Were they Quebecois?
No, it was like my parents went to Quebec, and all they brought me was this damn shirt. So I told her, you know, I had been right next to him when he got arrested, and she kept trying. She was like, he's so apolitical. I don't understand how this could have happened. I mean, he was just along for the ride. And I was like, but that's what happened, was that many of the people who
got arrested. There's no better phrase, she along for the ride. That explains it all. You were just along for the ride.
I'm not even sure that she used it, but it was unavoidable. But she was really, all she could think of was, why did this happen to my son? He wasn't protesting.
Right, right. Wrong place, wrong time.
Wrong place, wrong time. But, I mean, he was on the ride, and, you know, I mean, that was all that it took to be arrested. You know, there was this 50-year-old woman with her 16-year-old son, and, you know, there were folks in their 60s and folks in their teens.
Well, I'm glad that they got a cross-section of humanity, because they can't just say that they were all just dirty hippies on their bikes or whatever.
In that case, I mean, among the bikers, man, they were the most polite and well-behaved and you know, some people were, I mean, it was, only a normal percentage of dirty hippies.
How many of those were angry? Do we have figures on how many of those were angry? 10%, 20%?
On this given night, they were not angry.
Good. I'm glad to hear.
Even under these circumstances, we've got a call, eh?
Yes. Someone calling in, and I don't know from where, but there they are. You got to turn your internet down, your web down. I would normally say radio.
Do you think that's that?
That's what I heard. I heard us coming back to us.
Awesome.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
I should know better. It's Jonesy.
Hey, Jonesy.
Oh, how you doing?
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, you know, I've got a call that's related, but it's, I wasn't actually at the rally or anything like that, but I just had an experience at home that I thought was kind of interesting. I called up my bank, about a late credit card payment that was due today.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked for grace. I can walk into the office tomorrow and pay it.
Right, right.
And they wouldn't give it to me. They told me I had to pay like a $12 charge and pay over the phone.
Yes.
So I did that. And then he starts making small talk as he's taking my information. And he asks about things in the city. And, you know, I stuck with my my story that I just got back to the city, which isn't quite true.
Right.
And
was this person in India, by the way?
Did you tell him you should be a goddamn pig, man? That's exactly how they behave?
Unfortunately, I went silent when he said this.
Yeah.
This guy asked how things were in the city, and I said, well, you know, I'm going to flip on the news soon and check it out. And he asked when it started. I said, the convention starts tomorrow, but the protesters have already arrived.
Yeah.
And then he launched into a rant about how that it's the last thing your city needs at this time is to have them there snarling up traffic. And I was kind of agreeing, thinking like he meant like the whole convention.
Right, but what he meant was the dirty, filthy hippie protesters.
Exactly.
Yeah, because he's with a... Wait a minute, let me see if I'm surprised. Credit card company, stupid fuck, working at the credit card company. Yeah, that's great. Did you tell him you should come down here and fuck shit up? We're going to go out and fuck shit up?
I should have. I was stunned.
Say, come on down to New York, man. You could stay with me, and we'll go out during the day and fuck shit up. What do you say?
He said that they should all just stay home rather than disrupt your life there.
Yeah.
And I just went completely quiet because I didn't expect this. You know?
Yeah.
Like, now that I'm off the phone, I wish I had ripped into the guy.
You know, I've learned an all-purpose response to that kind of shit over the years, which is, how would you like me to respond to that? To make them think about what they just said and say, how would you like me to respond to that? Because they'll just immediately think, well, what the fuck did I just say? I don't even know what I just said. Some stupid shit, obviously.
Well, he just turned. He was like of no help in, on the business end.
Right.
Yeah. You know, he charged me money to make the transaction, and then he starts making small talk, and he wants to tell me that, that the protesters should get the fuck out of town because they're snarling traffic, and the traffic's being snarled by the whole fucking convention.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's just, I mean, that's the whole, like, the whole thing of the police. I mean, police create situations, and then they take advantage of it, and then they are able to make it seem as if the situation had existed before they arrived.
Like credit card companies.
Like credit card companies.
Exactly like credit card companies.
I mean, that guy could easily have taken care of you. There's no doubt about it. I mean, from what you make it sound, you know, it sounds like something that's relatively customary, you know, last day.
Furthermore, I could actually call tomorrow, get a superior on the phone, tell them the story about the politics, and then not only could I have his job, but I can get my $12 back.
That's a great idea. You should actually do that.
I'm not
that is a great idea. And you know what? Go one step further. Tell him you have everything on tape, even if you don't. tell him you were rolling tape on the whole conversation, and you will gladly send it to them. And they will immediately fork over your $12, believe me. You say, how dare you? This guy called me up and charged me $12 to feed me his political views. I'm not interested.
I go one step further and tell him I'll send it to John Curry's camp.
Right on, really.
You know, they are throwing...
What credit card was that?
It was Fleet. The Fleet Bank.
Oh, yeah. Fleet. They've just been bought by Bank of America.
Well, I'm not a member by choice. I was actually a United Jersey banker.
Yeah. Which is bought by Fleet.
I know. And
then I got bought by everybody else. You know, originally it was Ridgewood Savings when I lived in Ridgewood for a week.
Yeah, it's not Ridgewood Savings anymore, man. You know, the biggest party going on is by the MBNA Bank, the biggest issuer of credit cards in this country. They're doing the whole Lynyrd Skynyrd thing at the Republican National Convention. Wow. They got a Southern Boogie Night that they put together.
WFMU has an MBNA credit card. I'm not kidding.
Oh, really? Does that mean we could get into the Lynyrd Skynyrd event? We should go down and flash our corporate credit card. You know?
Hey, there is. Hey, take it from the classic rock DJ. They're not fucking Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah. Lynyrd Skynyrd and some other bands. I don't know. Molly Hatchet, maybe? Is Molly Hatchet going to be there?
I don't know. I mean, if you'll excuse me, we've got Ken in the studio. I was just saying, we've got Chris was saying that MBNA.
MBNA is giving the largest party at the RNC.
Is giving the largest party at the RNC.
Oh, they're giving the Southern Rock Party. Is that right?
Can we get into it? Because we've got one of their cards and we're a media corporation.
I say we send Jonesy.
We can try. Yeah, I've lost track of which Southern Rock bands are playing where, but there's a huge party at Crowbar right next to Scores.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Titty Bar?
Scores is the Titty Bar.
Yeah, high-end Titty Bar.
It's called a Gentleman's Cabaret.
Yeah. That would be
a
great place to get
one of you
outside of Scores. In between Crowbar, where Lynyrd Skynyrd, Dickie Betts, 38 Special. I'm not sure if the Marshall Tucker Band, the Charlie Daniels Band are playing there also, but they're playing somewhere.
You know, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but the name Dickie Betts has now come up 3 times in the last 2 weeks. And you can go years without hearing the name Dickie Betts.
Especially if you're an Allman Brother.
Yeah. That's the one party I would really like to try to find a way to sneak into. I mean, if it was at all possible to crash a party.
That sounds great. Maybe Radman, Ken, you know, like again, no, back to Ken again. Maybe Radman could get you into that. You think he's got connections?
I doubt it. But it would be interesting to ask him how he would try to get into it.
You know, I think the way to get into it is to see if they need any help with the PA. Maybe we can get in with the band. Just carry a cabinet in.
That's a good idea.
Walking in, you know, you just carry. I'm with the band, man. I got the cabinets. The PA cabinets. Bring something down from the station.
That's an excellent idea, Chris.
Thank you.
When they load the band in, just carry a piece of big, heavy audio, something really heavy.
Right. Yeah, some guy starts giving you shit.
An empty bass cabinet or something that looks really heavy.
You know, like they did with Nina Hagen when they snuck her out of East Berlin. They put her in a Marshall cabinet.
Did they really?
Yeah. Her boyfriend was a guitarist, and he took the speakers out of a Marshall cabinet. And just loaded her in there and carried her over the border.
Wow.
Exactly, yeah.
Nina. I never knew that.
Did they cut a hole in it, and did they all put their penis in the hole?
Oh, Jesus.
Yes,
please,
I believe
I
they
not.
Did that. Yes.
I hope not. During the ride from East to West Berlin, I hope not. That'd be terrible.
Yeah, I'm just like a kid in a candy shop when you tell me I can curse.
Yeah. We've all got our hands on our foreheads, Glenn.
It is a new experience. It's a totally new world, isn't it? Well, you know, it's really sad that you had to go through that experience, but I think that you should call them up and demand purely on a political basis that this guy be fired immediately.
Yeah, but then he's probably got like a family of like 16 relatives that is depending upon his weekly paycheck. I just can't do that to the guy. I can't get behind that. But I'm pissed off. I mean, he should have just shut up.
It shouldn't cost you $12 to go through that. That's what I'm saying. I mean, among other things.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I came in late on this. Who are you talking about, Glenn?
Glenn had to deal with a credit card company who was in the process of charging him for a late payment, and he wanted an address to go down and pay it in person. They said, no can do. What we can do is allow you to pay it over the phone with a $12 charge.
I see.
For the convenience of it. And then the guy started haranguing him about the protesters, the lousy protesters coming down to fuck up New York City for the week, and how dare they. So, you know, it just sounds like a call back and ask for a supervisor.
Well, you know, I could take it to extremes. I'm actually like, you know, I do all my banking with them. I could actually just transfer everything, and then it'll all be on this guy's head, you know?
Sounds good. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. Well, full moon tonight, guys.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I was kind of noticing that last night. The full moon, looked kind of big and full, yeah. I think that's going to have an impact, too.
Yeah, I think things might get real interesting after dark. It's too bad. I don't think we're going to be taking calls after dark.
No, we won't. But, I mean, I don't know. There is phone lines. The call-in line is up. Is that correct? We can give out 800-989-9368. The WFMU marathon line is actually hooked up to an answering machine. See interesting stuff? You want to give us a call and report on it? You can call 800-989-9368.
Yeah, and then we'll air it tomorrow.
And I'm going to be here tomorrow night, too, I think, like 1 a.m., the overnight.
Oh, cool. You said it's great.
I'll open up the phones as well.
Right on. I'm going to be here late on Wednesday, so I'll be opening up the phones late on Wednesday. And I know Tuesday's a big – there's going to be a lot going on this week, and we never really did get to events, but that was kind of the point of this thing, that we weren't really going to be too.
Well, thanks
you know,
for letting me come on and be here for these last couple hours. Anyway,
Chris, don't be silly.
No,
thanks for coming down.
That's
almost ridiculous sounding. What a fun time it's been. And it's not even over yet.
Yes, you're here till 7, and then Rob comes in and does the Trans-Pacific Sound Paradise.
Yeah, Rob's playing political music from all over the world, of all different types.
It's so many different languages all saying, fuck Bush, it's amazing. In so many different languages, we get to hear that. And that's from 7 to...
7 and 9.
7 and 9 p.m. So...
Thanks for your call.
Jason is frantically signaling
thanks,
something.
Glenn.
Is that your middle finger?
Hey,
what are you doing?
I can actually hear you now. Ken.
Yeah, you know,
there
that's, you should have piped up, Glenn. You know well enough. I mean,
I didn't even notice that the yellow button was unlit.
I didn't want to point it out in case it was a flaw in the flu.
No, it was just it was an oversight.
But Glenn is such a professional that like he's not going to take you to task over the air.
Yeah,
you know?
He should know better when he's on the phone with me. But there you go.
Know,
I mean,
next time, you know what, Glenn? Next time, go, hey, fuckhead. Push down the button so I can hear Ken.
Exactly.
By the way, Glenn, the reason why I'm having Radman on tomorrow, Glenn, is because X-Ray was the third conservative from the staff here who turned me down for doing Conservatives Corner.
X-Ray turned you down?
Yeah, I pleaded. I pleaded with X-Ray to come on the air during Conservatives Corner.
Oh, wow.
And, he pled PLED?
And I asked Nockham, and I asked Irwin.
I can understand Nockham. Has, like, you know,
sure.
Nockham's the man.
Yeah,
he can't be in it on the line like this.
And he gets to do it 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. Why does he need Conservatives Hour to, like, he's already...
Yeah, that's a step down.
He's like regular Republicans. He's got plenty of outlets for his media.
Yeah.
But in fact, not to mention that the Conservatives Corner is kind of like our little audio zoo. You know, it's our little pen, like in this WFMU lefty
I prefer the word
lefty
corral.
World. Okay, we've got this this
Conservatives Corral. Can we call it that?
Yeah, that's a better name. Only two out of
corral.
Only two out of four of the conservative corrals are scheduled so far. There's tomorrow with Radman.
You mean we need more conservatives?
We need two more hours to fill with Conservatives Corner.
Yeah. Wow.
But I have plenty of great audio that we can play. And Scott put together an hour of Paul Harvey for Conservatives Corner.
Yeah.
Of good Paul Harvey.
Paul Harvey once mentioned the Nihilistics, by the way.
Love Paul Harvey.
Yeah, many, many years ago.
Is Glenn still there?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I love Paul Harvey, but he's always so apolitical, I thought, on his show, no?
Did you call him
a little segment?
No, he's pretty righty.
No, he's not political as much as hyper-patriotic.
And conservative.
And there's a thin line between hyper-patriotic and political.
Paul Harvey did a report one time about, like, the song Kill Yourself. He went off on different song lyrics.
He was against it, right? Am I right?
He was like, how dare these people listen to the lyrics to this song? Kill Yourself. And I was sitting there going like, wow, he's talking about me. That's so cool.
Paul
Harvey just mentioned the band I was in.
Wow,
well, he didn't mention the band, but he read from our lyrics. You know what I'm saying.
But I take it you don't have the audio from that.
I do not. It was a moment when I was like, it went by.
What a shame.
I suppose if I wrote to Paul Harvey, and I could ask him for that audio. Who knows?
Write to him and tell him that monologue saved your life.
It changed me.
Yeah.
It did. I took the shoelaces out of my shoes.
You were about to kill yourself, but when you heard him do that, you had a whole life change.
I had given my belt over to the authorities.
That might make him want to dig it out and send it to you.
At this stage of his career, I think his son would probably answer the letter.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Paul Harvey's like a radio voice of the past. I listen to him, and I feel like I'm listening to...
Hey.
A border blaster from the 1930s or something.
You know, you may call him a voice of the past, but ABC has this this thing where they say like more people get their news from ABC than any other source, and that's one of their slogans, or at least it was a few years ago.
Right.
And it has nothing to do with ABC television or anything. It's ABC Radio. And it's really nothing to do with them. It's actually Paul Harvey. He is the man.
That's not news. That's bullshit, though. That's not news.
Yeah. But I once worked at ABC TOC there, and if the Paul Harvey show doesn't hit when it's supposed to hit, those freaking phones go off the hook.
It's fucking phones today.
Those fucking phones go off the hook because he's just carried by so many affiliates.
Heads will roll. Heads will roll if you don't get the Paul Harvey thing on in time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel rude, but I also see the phone lines flashing, and
we got to cut away to Rob on Trans-Pacific Sound Paradise
soon,
in like 5 minutes.
I'm hoping that one of those people is Todd, and that we can just say goodbye and thank you.
And I'm going to say goodbye now.
Thanks, Glenn.
Glenn,
I would just like to say good day.
Good day, Glenn. Thanks for calling.
The rest of the story. Hello.
What up, AC? Hi, I'm from the Revolutionary Communist Youth Brigade, and I have someone here with a statement for you.
You know what? We've heard from you folks already, and we're going to be done. We only have 5 more minutes for this show, so I'm going to say thank you for calling and have a good day.
The RCYP.
Hi, how you doing? You're on the web with WFMU.
Hey, Jason, it's Todd.
I hope that you would be... We actually just cut off some dirty communist so that we could go through the phone lines and find you. Because it was important to say goodnight.
Yeah, well, you know what they say.
Has no regard... Your commie has no regard for human life.
Sorry about that, Todd.
So I don't know if you can hear the background. You got the Rude Mechanical Orchestra. A marching band, much like the Hungry March Band, and got a huge crowd here, just like dancing. And it seems like the party is growing. And since there's not a curfew until 12 midnight, I imagine the party will go till then.
Wow. So are you saying
anyone in the area? I would say still come up because it's pretty fun up here.
Cool. Go to Central Park. Go to the Great Lawn. It's a fun party. The pigs are not bashing heads. And should be great. So, what?
Andrew said that you said that there were 100 rests today?
No, that wasn't I.
Oh, okay. Okay. She must have misunderstood. It seems pretty.
No one said that. I think there were, maybe a couple of arrests.
Oh, okay.
One of the callers, I think, said that a couple people got arrested.
I'm wondering, Todd, have you seen any of those guys with the sticks where they have the two sticks and they make the other stick jump back and forth?
No.
Okay.
No, there
good.
Is a little,
good.
There is a little hacky sack going on.
Oh,
but,
Jesus. He's spotted a hacky sack game. Can you get over to that game? Or are you too far away from it now?
I think they're on the other side of the band. I'll quickly move over toward that.
You know what we should make him do? Let's make Todd snatch the sack if he can.
Oh, man.
Grab it and run away.
But we are really winding down. So, for fear that we get cut off or something happens, thank you very, very much.
Sure.
Like, that's been really
it's
great.
It's true that it's Todd been... is God. It is true, isn't it? Todd is God.
Yeah. It was so terrible before. I had this great classic... old New York woman with this really gravelly voice with her son and daughter, and she was so cool, and I was following around, like, she'd be great on the radio, and she was sure, and I said, well, just hold on for a second, and she was holding the phone, and all of a sudden she said, my son's a comedian. I'm going to let him talk. And he was the douchebag who started talking about the laundromat and all.
Yeah.
She was so
That's so funny.
I was disappointed, you know. And,
yeah.
Well.
Because honestly, I thought maybe that guy just sounded so like lethargic that you thought it was humorous and interesting to have him on the air.
No, he looked like he was on some sort of psychoactive drug. Right.
So in that case, you just say, "Lady, your son's a fucking moron. We want to talk to you.
Yeah.
We don't want to talk to him.
Yeah.
But Todd, if you say it with a smile on your face, you could say just about anything. Just be grinning when you say it.
Wait, look, just as when I told those ladies who were the parents of Pat's Teeny Bopper punk band that I wished that they were in there singing about eating each other's shit. I said it with a huge grin on my face, and they both kind of went, ooh, but they didn't really, they weren't like, oh my God, he's being mean to me. It was obvious that I wasn't trying to be mean.
I found the Hacky Sackers. You want me to try to put one live on the air?
Sure. Let's hear from a Hacky
Dear
Sacker.
God, I've never talked to a Hacky
live
Sacker.
Live on the air at WFMU right now?
No. Who the fuck is he to say no to us?
They've got balls, man.
Tell that dirty hippie to get on the phone right now. Todd, tell it.
They said, sorry, dude.
Sorry, dude. We're involved in this game. Can't stop now, dude. Gonna lose track of the sack. What's in their sack? Ask them what's in their sack. What happened?
Is he getting one?
It actually went from one person to the other person without falling to the ground. Oh, it's on.
You know what? We're going to have to go this second. I think we're really close to being out of time. So thanks again. It's awesome. And, keep your phone handy. I'll give you a call in a little while.
Sure. Okay. Great. See you guys.
See ya. Chris, likewise, I think we have to go to music, and that's pretty much it.
Yes. Well, let's hear some music then. And thanks again for...
No. Well, okay. Let's hear a little bit of that, but then we'll hear this.
No. It's all right.
Thanks, Todd.
Todd, thanks again, and I'm going to go, and I'll be back at some point tomorrow, hopefully at 1 a.m. on Monday, like the overnight thing.
Wow, that's great. Chris is here late tomorrow night, so definitely tune in for that, and check the website, wfmu.org/RNC. What's happening on the phones? There's some sort of mayhem in Central Park, and it's happening only on our phone lines. Otherwise,
Hacky Sackers are marauding.
Hacky Sackers are beating the shit out of Todd.
Yeah. I'm wondering if do the cops have a code for that when Hacky Sackers maraud?
I don't know.
They must. There must be some kind of code.
So give us a little more commie crap, and then we'll go to the sounds of protest. So we're gonna say goodnight right now.
Goodnight.
Goodnight. Thanks, Chris.
FMU, Trans-Pacific Sound Paradise, with me, Rob, and you, Sunday evenings from 7 to 10. And we have, as you know, the WFMU RNC convention simultaneous stream is rolling now as well. And for the first 2 hours of the show, we're going to be on both the stream and on WFMU proper, wfmu.org/RNC for the stream. Because we're going to be playing politically themed songs, a pretty loose interpretation of the theme is what we're going to be doing. So hope you'll stay with us. For the first 2 hours of the show, we'll do the theme and be on the stream. And the final hour will be more of a mixed bag. This is a version we're kicking off with the Shaw Sick Brass Band version of Fela's Colonial Mentality. The non-violent spirit of the Ogoni tribe, where over 2,000 people die. Countless children on slave women raids. House burned down when the army came to protect the interests of the shell government. I try to cooperate, but it ain't working yet. Insanity lies in front of we. We're destroying the country, God better help us. Action I demand, so now we need sanctions. Richer getting richer, the poorer getting poorer. In the hands of the blood, angry and thirsty. Only interested in chopping all money. Abacha, I demand that you go away.
Nigeria, 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 which way Nigeria they go? Claiming the truth is disturbing national security. Great people already paid the price, sacrificing their lives. I stand to say and I testify that they did not die. All in vain, I feel the pain. The whole thing that goes and evolves around us. All those car keys that come in action. It's time for us to make sure the job is done. Raise up!
There's Colonial Mentality by Fela, as revisited by the European-based Shaw Sick Brass Band. I'm Rob. It's Trans-Pacific Sound Paradise. Tonight, for the first 2 hours of the show, we are simulcasting on WFMU's RNC convention stream, WFMU.org/RNC. And then at 9 o'clock, we'll split with a stream. And on the stream, you'll hear the Big City Orchestra doing